The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So let's take a look at NJM and Church Group traffic. Kathy, what's up this morning?
Man, we were going so lovely. Look, can you just look, Steve? Look at my
There's,
page.
There's absolutely nothing on that page, Kathy.
It's completely white. Hold on. Yeah. There is a closure, and I want to get this out there to everybody. All right, here we go. It is not there anymore. Hold on. You have to give me 1 second. Chat amongst yourselves.
How you guys been? Everybody
doing
good?
Well. Have a good weekend. How about a sing-along?
Man, excellent. So happy to see Kathy this morning.
You were,
I was, yeah. Good. Yeah, the whole band's back together, man.
Yeah. Well, I have nothing. So how about we do news and then come back to traffic,
I'm
maybe?
I'm down with that. Here we go.
And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Monday. It is June 15th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, New Jersey moves into stage two of its reopening plan today with outdoor dining and non-essential retail set to resume. Beginning at 6 a.m. today, phase two means that non-essential retail stores can let customers back inside rather than just curbside. Stores are limited to 50% of approved capacity. Customers and employees must wear face coverings, and areas used by employees must be regularly sanitized. Restaurants can also offer outdoor dining along with takeout. Tables must be 6 feet apart and other safety and sanitation protocols must be followed. The governor says that this phase two reopening, the state has launched an initiative to help small businesses called One Jersey Pledge. Now, a motor vehicle commission restarts drop-off and pickup services. Child care centers can reopen in New Jersey, and libraries can do curbside pickup and open outdoor spaces to the public. Open houses to view real estate are permitted. Provided that they comply with the restrictions on indoor gatherings, including the requirements that attendees must wear face coverings.
It was weird hearing a neighbor, Kathy, say that they were going out to dinner. I'm like, what?
What?
What? Are you insane?
I know. We did. We did on Friday. It was for our anniversary, and it was. It was. Wow.
It's cool. It's just something you take for granted.
Weird.
Yeah. Was it weird?
Well, I mean, it was weird that. Okay, that it was weird that it was weird that we were going out.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like,
but it was just,
wow, we're going out to dinner. Yeah, we're going out to dinner. Remember we used to do this all the time?
It's just standard stuff. Yeah, you went to it for your anniversary.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just weird to hear people say that. And it's like, oh, yeah, we can do that now.
All of a sudden,
yeah.
It's an option again.
Yeah, yeah.
It hasn't been that forever.
Right. And, Case, I don't know if you noticed, were you at the shore this weekend?
I was,
well?
Yeah.
So, apparently, a bunch of the shore towns kind of got together and they reopened their businesses early. So, they opened on Friday.
Okay.
When technically they're not supposed to be open until today, but a lot of retail.
I didn't go out okay. Like that.
Okay.
I went out for a bike ride, but I wasn't paying attention to what businesses were doing. What I do see a lot of down there are, and I think it's a standard, is, you know, the business doors are open, but there's a table in the front, and
right.
It's like, you know, you can call, you can pick up, do whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So bike shops, boat dealerships, cars and used car dealerships, farming equipment stores, federal firearm licensees, livestock feed stores, mobile phone retail and repair shops, motorcycle dealerships and nurseries and garden centers are also allowed to operate, as well as car washes.
Oh, see. All right. I went to a couple of nurseries and it was already like that. It wasn't even like most of it was outside, and then you made your purchase inside.
Right.
And I did that a couple of weeks ago.
In Jersey?
In New Jersey. Well, I'm not bragging. I hope I wasn't breaking the law.
I think you were.
You're a full-blown felon.
Was I breaking the law, or were they breaking the law? Or were we both complicit?
You were complicit.
There
I think this
go.
Will be part of an investigative series.
Yeah.
Casey, felon or innocent man?
The U.S. Department of Agriculture says that the 40,000 pounds of ground beef is being recalled. The 7 affected products are from the Lakeside Refrigerated Service in New Jersey because they may be contaminated with E. coli, according to a CNN report. The raw ground beef products produced by the company in Swedesboro, New Jersey, were shipped to retail locations nationwide. The recalled products were produced on June 1st and have the establishment number of 46841 inside the USDA mark of inspection. E. coli can potentially be deadly. Some kinds of E. coli coli cause disease by producing Shiga toxin. The bacteria that makes these toxins are called Shiga toxin producing E. coli, or STEC. The most commonly found STEC in the United States is E. coli. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that there are 265,000 STEC infections each year in the United States. E. coli causes more than 36% of those infections.
Wow.
The detailed list of recalled products is on the Food Safety and Inspection Service website.
Oh, man. Just awesome. Awesome ways to die in 2020.
Lower Makefield Police issued a shelter-in-place order Sunday afternoon because there was a black bear sighting. The police asked residents, specifically those who live in Yardley Hunt, to stay indoors. Residents were shocked to see what was estimated to be about a 6-foot black bear casually strolling through the neighborhood. It's unclear where the bear may have taken off to, but officials say that the Game Commission is searching for it. And this wasn't the only bear sighting. West Goshen Township also experienced a bear last seen walking near North Five Points Road.
Holy mama!
If you spot the bear, you are asked to call 911 immediately. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Major League Baseball Players Association asked the league's owners to set a schedule for the 2020 season rather than counter the latest return to play proposal by the league, setting the stage for a much shorter schedule and deepening the labor dispute between the parties. In a statement, the MLBPA Executive Director Tony Clark rejected MLB's latest proposal and said further dialogue with the league would be futile. It's time to get back to work. Tell us when and where. The players have little incentive to play 70 games or 80 games if they would be making the same money in 50 games. The latest proposal was said to offer players slightly more postseason money if the postseason is completed, but both sides remain at a stalemate. The NBA informed teams that coronavirus testing for players and staff taking part in the league's restart will begin on June 23rd and take place every other day. The memo says players and essential team staff, which includes any coaches, trainers, or medical personnel who will be working with players directly or will be part of the travel party to Orlando, will be administered both a COVID-19 test and an antibody test. Each person will then be administered another test every other day, as well as 2 days directly before the team leaves for Walt Disney World. All NBA teams are currently scheduled to arrive in Orlando between July 7th and July 9th. The PGA Tour made a healthy return from the pandemic at the Charles Schwab Challenge, even if there was no one in the gallery to watch it. Daniel Berger sank a 10-foot birdie on the final hole, gave him a share on the lead, and on the first playoff hole, he won with a par. Berger won for the third time on the PGA Tour, but it was one that felt different because Colonia was without fans, and that will be the case over at least the next 4 weeks on the PGA Tour. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kath. What was it like this morning? A little bit different. You've been away for a while.
I said to Marissa, it was like, you know, riding a bike. It was like, I thought it would be weird, you know. I'll tell you what, I do like getting up when it's already light out, though. Like, it was still dark when I got up this morning, and so that was a little bit different for me.
Yep.
But it was fine. It was like riding a bike. I came right in. Okay. Parking lot looks a little different, but
You like the new way you get into the parking lot? It's great, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure. I was kind of like driving around. I was like, I don't know if I'm in the right spot or not. I don't know where we park.
That's always Kathy's entrance, by the way.
Belmont?
Yeah, she always comes in through Belmont.
But she didn't get to drive over the trench until this morning, I imagine. Did you notice that big dip
I think...
You can't go over that thing fast.
I think it might be blocked off, like right in the middle of the
park. It's still part of it. Yeah. You have to go up. But there were parts that they took a big chunk out of our parking lot. And I mean, it's a deep trench you got to go over.
You find out about
it
quickly.
If you're not ready for it, you can go bang and maybe even get a flat. So I was just curious how you handled that.
I went slowly over that. I think I drove in a spot where it wasn't too bad. So, yeah, it was good.
What a glorious weekend. Just
freaking real.
As far as the weather goes, it could not have been more perfect. It was just got nice and cool in the evening and just beautiful sunny days all weekend long. Hope you guys got outside and did something.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Nice. I did.
I was enjoying the tainted beef. It was great.
by the way, we're going to get traffic now.
Yes, I can do it now.
This just in.
Yay.
I don't have any music for you.
But. Okay. I can get you some music.
Yeah, do the Cannonball Run music.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll do that.
Yeah, let's...
Traffic. Okay. Oh, that's fine.
Here we go. Traffic.
I love it. So what I wanted to get to was in Kent County, Delaware, on Route 1 southbound. It was shut down, but it looks like the accident now, which is at DuPont Boulevard, exit 114, is now off to the shoulder. However, expect jam traffic. Burlington-Bristol Bridge is reopened after a drawbridge opening. Traffic jammed in both directions. And then in Christiana, Delaware, 95 northbound between 273 and 202. We've got three lanes closed, and that's construction. This traffic report brought to you by PennDOT. There's more than one way to be under the influence. Read your prescription labels and don't drive. If your medication instructs you not to, be safe, PA, PennDOT.gov/safety, paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars. And that's your traffic from 93.3 WMMR.
That's how you do it, people, yeah. Right there.
Press, I was going to tell you that I did get out this weekend, and I got to ride my bike on Saturday, and then on Sunday, I got to work on my tricycle.
Oh.
And I spray painted it, Press. Can you guess what color I spray painted my tricycle?
Casey was wearing sandals when he spray painted. And you got to show these guys.
Oh,
have you
God.
Seen this, Steve?
No, no, no.
Oh,
well,
my
you haven't
God.
Had a pedicure in months, Casey.
Oh,
so.
My God.
Oh, look at this. Oh, my God. Is it green?
Yeah. It's greenish.
Yeah. Eagles
Absolutely.
Green.
Absolutely.
Go Birds.
Is that what you were going for, Case?
Yeah.
A little Eagles green?
Green and silver, some metallic silver. I didn't realize that I had gotten my feet until it was, I guess, a little bit too late.
All right, and you tried to wash that off, and I guess...
No. I just took a shower. I didn't like scrubbing. Like, dude, I scrubbed my hands. Off. I was so tired of scrubbing.
Yeah. All right. That was your big weekend project, spray painting your tricycle?
Yeah, I took it all apart. I probably ruined it, but whatever. We'll find out when I try and put it all back together.
When it's done, we want pictures. We would like to welcome you to a new week, and we have a new Word of the Week prize. We have a Physique Round Barbecue and Fire Pit Kit from our friends at Landis Block that we will give away, and it's been great for fire pits and for barbecuing, obviously, so we'd like to get that to you. Letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize coming up at the end of the program. You keep track of the letters. I think you know how that whole thing works by now. But in the meantime, we're going to take a break, come back in a second, because I've got a stack of entertainment stories that I want to run by you and a stupid question to win some freebie thingies as we get started. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So the good stuff I was talking about is free things, and we have a chance for you to win right now with a stupid question. I got a digital download of the action-packed thrill ride Sniper Assassin's End.
Ah.
If you can answer this question about Domino's, I don't know if I've asked this before, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What's the term for the pile of unused Domino's that players draw new tiles from called? 215-263-WMMR. What's the term for the pile of unused dominoes that players draw new tiles from? 215-263-WMMR. Call now. Let's see if you know the answer.
Thanks to your wife, we were playing dominoes this weekend. She dropped a set off a week or two ago, and I had not played dominoes in a long time. I know the answer to the question because of your wife.
Excellent. Well, you can't call in and win.
Okay.
Yes. Nick. But somebody can. I'm going to go through some birthdays while you're waiting your answer. Today is Monday, June 15th, and a number of people have birthdays on the 15th, or have a birthday on the 15th. Neil Patrick Harris being one of them. Doug is 47 years old today. And you know what's funny is, you know, sometimes the child star can be the death of your career.
It absolutely. So you burn out and that's it.
You can't make it last, but he managed to continue on. And if you remember, Doogie Howser, he was a kid. He was a super brilliant kid who became a doctor.
I liked the show. It was good. Yeah. What marvels me, though, is the fact that he was that character, and then in the Harold and Kumar movies, he's such a sociopath and so funny. He's the absolute opposite, but his range is amazing.
Yeah, so he celebrates his 47th birthday today, Neil Patrick Harris. Courtney Cox, Arquette, is 56 years old.
I wonder why she keeps the Arquette.
Yeah. They've been...
years they've been apart
for a long time, and it's written that way here. Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure what...
I think she dropped it.
Did she?
Yeah.
Okay.
She kept the Mellencamp.
Then our prep service needs to drop the Arquette. So happy birthday to Courtney Cox. She is 56 today. It's also Helen Hunt's birthday. Is she... She's been nominated before, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has. As Good As It Gets.
That's right.
I watched Twister last week.
She was nominated for that as well.
Yeah. I just love that movie.
Really?
Those guys are so extreme. I love it for, like, in retrospect and in hindsight, how stupidly cheesy it is.
Okay.
You know, like, he got the corporate.
I hate corporate meteorologists. I love the free-roaming type that go out and do it for the love of the weather, Preston.
I guess corporate storm chasers
We're talking about good, bad movies that might fall into that category. The one thing I did like in that movie is Jamie Gertz, because I hadn't seen her in a while, and I used to have a crush on her big time.
She looked great. You remember Philip Seymour Hoffman was the real big sort of... hippie guy.
Yeah. So Helen Hunt turns 57 today. Julie Haggerty from the Airplane films.
Both of them were on this weekend.
Oh, and she's in What About Bob?
Yeah.
That's right. She's the mom. I forgot about that.
We had her on recently for something. Remember?
Yeah.
Remember that?
What was it?
This is, I don't know, but this is when Bob's eating corn, and we got to let it play out. So.
Faye, this is so scrumptious. Is this hand shucked?
Marriage Story.
Marriage Story?
Yeah, she came on to promote that.
I don't remember that.
I know.
She's 65 today. James Belushi, brother of John Belushi, of course. And he had a few things throughout his career.
He was nominated for, was it Red Heat? What was that movie he did with Schwarzenegger?
No, not that one. He was nominated for K-9.
I think it was Red Heat. He was also in About Last Night and The Principal. And then he had, According to Jim, a show, which did pretty good. He's 66 today. It's also Leah Remini's birthday and a big one for her. She turns 50 years old today.
Wow.
Yeah.
She looks great.
King of Queens. And, of course, I absolutely loved the Scientology series. That was appointment television for my wife. And
that that continues, at least not the series, but her ongoing battle with the Church of Scientology. Yeah.
She
has not relented.
All the way, because she was brought up in that world, and then her eyes were open, and she was like, you know what, I need to do something about this. So she's doing what she can. She's 50 today. It's also Ice Cube's birthday.
To the people over here. Yep. To the people over there. To the people, the people, the people, people, the people, the people, people. From everywhere.
Celebrates his 51st birthday today, and obviously not in the world of rap and hip-hop, but not just that, but Friday, Three Kings, Barbershop. He's been in a lot of stuff.
21 Jump Street.
Stretches his... Was he in 21 Jump Street?
He is the police captain in 21 Jump Street and 22 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Seen that movie. You know what? I never did see that movie.
Well, that's why.
I think I saw a little portion of it. So, all right, he celebrates his 51st birthday today. And then we have Steve Walsh, lead singer of Kansas.
Oh, wow.
Is 69 years old today. Kansas gets beat up pretty good.
Yeah. They're a solid band. And he's a great singer.
He is. He's got a big time range. He's got a very powerful voice. So he is 69 years old. And then the last birthday I also saw from the world of rock music, Brad Gillis, who used to play guitar for Night Ranger. They might still do stuff together, I'm not really sure. But he also was the guy, I think, who came in right after Randy Rhoads died for Ozzy and played. He's a great guitar player and celebrates his 63rd birthday today.
I'm playing a piano for a guitar player, but whatever.
It's okay. It's just from
Listen,
Night Ranger,
you know so. That he was there nodding approvingly.
Yes, exactly. So, 63 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to today's stupid question. What is the term for the pile of unused dominoes that players draw tiles from? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and I will go to Laura, and see if she can get the answer. Laura, good morning.
Good morning.
Laura.
You guys
what,
rock.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. What is the term for the pile of unused dominoes that players draw from?
The Boneyard.
Boneyard. That's correct, Laura. Hang on the line. Because for you, we have a digital download of the action-packed thrill ride Sniper, Assassin's End, I'm sorry. Starring Chad Michael Collins and Tom Berenger. Legendary sniper Thomas Beckett and his son, Special Ops Sniper Brandon Beckett, are on the run from the CIA, Russian mercenaries, and a Yakuza-trained assassin.
Well, that sounds very complicated.
It's available tomorrow on digital, Blu-ray, and DVD, and that is from Sony Pictures Home Entertainment.
Preston, any one of those would be bad. But yeah. Then you add on the Yakuza.
Got all
That's
of
a whole other level.
Yeah. Well, after a serious call to arms in Bachelor Nation, Matt James will be the first ever black bachelor. The 28-year-old was named the lead after a campaign launched by the franchise's first ever black lead in 2017, and that was Rachel Lindsay. In a statement, producer said, "We know we have a responsibility to make sure the love stories we're seeing on screen."
Yes, it's all about the love.
"Are representative of the world we live in, and we are proudly in service to our audience. This is just the beginning, and we will continue to take action with regard to diversity issues on this franchise."
It sort of seems weird that they've gone this many seasons without that.
Yes.
And there was a show that Angela Profeta, who's in our calendar, was on, and it was basically, an African-American bachelor, you know?
Yes.
And that was the whole thing. And it was every bit as cheesy and weird as The Bachelor normally is. I don't know why it took so long to get to this point.
And the twist on that one, too, is it had to do with religion as well.
Yeah, there was a preacher.
I forgot what it was called.
I forget the name. I watched it for her, though.
It had, like, heaven or something like that in the title, if I recall.
Match made in heaven.
Match made in heaven.
That was it. Match made in heaven, and they had a preacher who would sort of guide them through their decisions.
And Angela made it down to the final three.
She rocked it.
Yep. So they said, "We feel so privileged to have Matt as our first black bachelor, and we cannot wait to embark on this journey with him.
Join the party, pal."
Before being named the new bachelor, James was cast in the next Bachelorette series starring Claire Crawley. Fans were thrilled, for the most part, in their responses to this decision. So we'll be moving forward. And I'm not done with Bachelor stories.
Oh, my God!
Oh, no, no, no.
That's our world. That's where we live. We're part of the Bachelor Nation, aren't we?
I have a Bachelorette story, and it's Hannah Brown. She saved a guy from drowning while whitewater rafting with her family in Tennessee on Saturday. The man's girlfriend posted about the dramatic incident on Twitter, writing, "How fun. Hannah Brown saved my boyfriend from drowning in the OC River today." Ocoee River? I don't know how you pronounce it.
God bless you, Hannah Brown.
The woman continued saying, "She was on the river with us. Our raft flipped and her and her family were on the trip with us. And she ended up pulling my boyfriend onto their raft after the current took him. I don't know who she was. I did know who she was, but her mom said she had just won Dancing with the Stars and that she was the Bachelorette." And when a commenter suggested that the former reality TV star's kickboxing sessions have helped her strength to pull a grown man back on the raft, the woman replied, "She is strong."
They undersold the story, Preston. They were actually in a houseboat, and it was going over a waterfall.
Oh,
Hannah
God.
Brown reached out and kept it from going over the crest of the waterfall with one arm.
Whoa. Which, by the way, when you go on whitewater rafting, people fall in the water. And you pull them back in. That's how it works.
If you're lucky, Hannah Brown is around to save you.
You're wearing a life jacket. I'm sure she didn't save him from drowning, but did help him.
Did
back
she help him back
the
in the boat, Preston?
Yes.
Did she hold his wallet while he got back in?
The woman continued to say, "She and her family were so nice. Her mama was so proud of her baby girl. I loved it."
Look on the jet ski. It's Tom Bergeron.
All right.
All the ABC stars are here.
He just comes riding up on a jet ski. Brown's brother, Patrick Brown, shared two photos on Instagram from their day on the water, writing, "Took on the rapids with the fam jam.
The fam jam.
I got to relive my lifeguard days, and Hannah thinks she's a part of the Coast Guard now." And
Anna Brown, we want to award you the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Then they put hashtag rescue mission. So that's the latest from Bachelor Nation, folks. Yes.
A grateful nation welcomes Anna Brown today to receive the Congressional Medal of Honor. Miss Brown?
Yes, sir.
Step forward, please.
It would just...
I hereby make you Queen of Courage Lands.
The way 2020 is going, I wouldn't doubt it. There would just be another footnote in this year.
Oh, so. Yeah. That'd be just a blurb.
So Hannah Brown saved a guy from the river. That's what they're saying. All right. Stassi Schroeder.
Yes.
Is expecting her first child with Bo Clark.
Okay. Now, these may seem like people you don't know, and that's for a good reason. You should know them and
right.
should refuse anything that tries to make you know them. Stassi is Kylie's friend.
She's from Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, I think she's one. I think she's a Kylie Jenner friend.
This news comes after the 31-year-old was fired from Vanderpump Rules for calling the police on former castmate Faith Stowers, the only black member of the Bravo show.
Maybe it's another Stassi Preston.
And maybe I'm mispronouncing her name, but it's spelled S-T-A-S-S-I. I figured it was Stassi or Stacy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
If it's Stacy, you want to slap her.
But Schroeder and Clark got engaged in 2019, so they got a baby on the way.
Yay.
Right? Yay. Mama June is getting real about her problems with drugs.
A little too late.
In Mama June Family Crisis, is that a show?
Yes. It's right after Mama June Meet the Press. Where she discusses the nation's... news events.
Okay, all right.
With a panel of top journalists.
In Mama June Family Crisis, the 40-year-old mother of four admits...
And Larry the Cable Guy.
...that at one point she had to sell her house because of her $25,000 a day meth habit.
No, that's no, way too much.
Dude, meth is insanely cheap. And if you did $25,000 worth of meth a day, you would clearly be dead.
Unless she was buying it for the whole town.
But we're talking
know?
About Mama June.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe she can do a lot. She has lost a lot of weight.
She also has lost a lot of teeth.
Oh, she has. Oh, my God. I haven't seen this. We're looking at video footage of her right now. She's missing some teeth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the
That's the meth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what $25,000 of meth a day will do to you, Preston.
How's Honey Boo Boo looking these days?
Large.
Is she really?
Very large.
I haven't seen her in a long time. Last March, Mama June and her boyfriend, Eugene Gino Doak, were arrested in Alabama for possession of a controlled substance and drug paraphernalia.
So, Eugene!
There he goes. Jesse Smollett's lawyers were hoping to use a double jeopardy defense when prosecutors brought forth a new six-count indictment against him in February, as many recall. He was accused of faking a racist beating, a charge he denies. And on Friday, a Cook County judge said that the argument wouldn't fly because he was never prosecuted in court. Prosecutors dropped the first charges against him when he agreed to forfeit his $10,000 bond. And his lawyer, the judge, James Lynn, said there was no trial in this case. There was no jury implemented. No witnesses were sworn in. No evidence was heard. No guilty pleas were ever entered. Nothing like that ever happened.
He needs Hannah Brown.
Yes.
She can fix everything.
Apparently this is true. So we'll see if he enlists Hannah Brown to help. And I wouldn't doubt it.
Of course.
Angelina Jolie said that she is working to create a world where her daughter, Zahara, won't face racism and discrimination.
What about the other kids?
Yeah, that's a good question. In a sit-down with Harper's Bazaar UK, the actress and special envoy of the High Commission for Refugees at the UN said that following the unrest, the pandemic, and Black Lives Matter protests, she wants to rethink the needs and suffering within, quote, my own country. She said there are more than 70 million people who have had to flee their homes worldwide because of war and persecution. And there is racism and discrimination in America, a system that protects me but might not protect my daughter or any other man, woman or child in our country based on skin color is intolerable, she said. She added, we need to progress beyond sympathy and good intentions to laws and policies that actually address structural racism and impunity. Ending abuses in policing is just the start. It goes far beyond that to all aspects of society, from our education system to our politics. She said it feels like the world is waking up and people are forcing a deeper reckoning within their societies. Of course, she had adopted Zahara at 6 months from an Ethiopian orphanage in 2005. And, of course, her and Brad have six kids all together.
Six, and how many are theirs? Is it just, I mean, not, I think they're two, all theirs, right? But who are the natural?
Don't know.
Yeah,
twins, right?
Twins, yeah. Okay.
Is it twins?
Yeah, there are twins. There might be, it might be three. I think it's three. It is. It's three of them.
I always get confused.
Three, and they adopted three?
Their oldest is Hannah Brown.
Okay. Yeah. Hannah Brown is the oldest daughter.
Yes, I believe so, Preston.
It is not the trooping, the color celebration royal watchers wished for, but Queen Elizabeth II didn't seem to mind as she celebrated her 94th birthday with a unique and socially distanced ceremony. In March, it was announced that the annual parade, which marks Her Majesty's celebration in June and draws dozens of priceless UK royal family moments, would not proceed in its traditional form due to the coronavirus pandemic. Instead, a much smaller gathering took place at the grounds of Windsor Castle to honor Queen Elizabeth on Saturday. Members of the 1st Battalion of the Welsh stood 6 feet apart as they serenaded the monarch with a royal salute from a safe distance.
I have to tell you, after 94 years of life, seeing the parading of various color guard is boring.
Queen Elizabeth was flanked by two officials as she admired the ceremony while sitting under a canopy on the quadrangle of Windsor Castle.
Very entertaining, yes. Having a great time on my birthday.
She dressed the occasion in a light blue ensemble by Stuart Parvin.
Look at how she's, you know, as you said, Preston, two people on either side of her. She's sitting in this tent. They're walking by. There's really... It just seems bizarre.
Yeah, she's just going to sit there and just be
very
bored
good.
Watching
very
them
nice.
As they go by.
You all seem to be wearing the same outfits.
So she also she had a coordinating hat by Rachel Trevor Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Today, the appearance marked Queen Elizabeth's first major appearance since COVID-19 lockdown began. Since mid-March, Queen Elizabeth has been staying in Windsor Castle along with Prince Philip.
Did you see what they gave her, though, for her birthday? They gave her an adult tricycle, Preston.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, yeah. Which she spent the latter part of the day spray painting.
Did it have the horns on the front?
Yeah.
All right, nice. Her Majesty has praised healthcare professionals and sent encouraging safety messages amid the global coronavirus pandemic. She also delivered a message of hope during a televised address. As she said on Easter, "We know that coronavirus will not overcome us." Members of the royal family celebrated Queen Elizabeth's 94th birthday both privately and on social media. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, of course, who have officially stepped back as senior members of the royal family, had a video call with the Queen, wishing Her Majesty, this is according to the official account of Prince William and Kate Middleton, they said, wishing Her Majesty the Queen a very happy 94th birthday today.
Die already!
Prince Charles, do you think when the Queen gets home, because obviously there's a part of the... Of Buckingham Palace, where she goes and resides, and then she conducts business. Do you think when she walks to the door, the first thing she does is take her bra off?
God, son of a bitch!
Oh, yeah.
Binding me!
Oh. Yes, I would think so.
Oh.
They hit the floor.
Woo! Oh, all damn day.
Unwind. Yeah, I can see her doing
right?
that.
Right? Why wouldn't she?
Thank you, thank you. Now, if you'll excuse me. Whoa! Oh!
You think she can reach back there and do that?
I think one of the beef eaters probably helps her.
Okay. Kathy, do you prefer the... they still make the front clasp on bras? I would imagine they do,
sure.
Right? Yeah. Do you prefer one or the other?
I prefer on the back, and okay. I just, I can reach. I can
you
still,
can, yeah.
Yeah, I can still do it.
No problem.
I'm not that old.
You're not 94.
The hell out of here.
They should make a bra, Kathy, where if you jut your arms out, like left and right, it just pops off.
Mm-hmm. This is terrible news. The daughter of country music legend Hank Williams Jr. Has died.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Catherine Williams Dunning died in a car crash on Saturday night.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, in Henry County, Tennessee. She was only 27 years old.
Did the car roll? I heard it rolled a couple times.
Her sister Holly confirmed the news in a heartbreaking Instagram story that was shared on Sunday morning. The photo Holly posted was a family portrait that was just taken on Friday, by the way. Yeah. The Tennessee Highway Patrol confirmed Catherine's death. According to documents, She was driving south on U.S. Highway 79 in an SUV at the time of the crash. The vehicle, which was towing a boat, crossed the dividing median of the highway and then began a rollover sequence. The vehicle crossed the northbound lanes and came to rest on the east shoulder of the roadway. I haven't heard anything as to, you know, why they left the road or went into the median. I don't know if there was another car involved or if this was just a single vehicle incident or not. Catherine's husband, Tyler, was also in the SUV at the time of the crash, and he was flown and taken to a nearby hospital. In her message, Holly shared that Tyler was awake and responding. However, they don't know injury extent yet.
There's been a lot of tragedy in that family. He himself, Hank Williams Jr., had an accident early on in his... Was it on a cliffside? Did he fall?
Yeah, I believe it was like they were rappelling or something like that.
And he fell.
Nearly killed him.
Yeah, a great distance.
Yeah. Kelly Clarkson has been spotted out and about without her wedding ring just days after filing for divorce from her husband of nearly 7 years, Brandon Blackstock.
Ooh, kitty cat needs to prowl.
That just hit on Friday, that story that they filed for divorce. On Friday, the 38-year-old mother of two was spotted walking her dog in Los Angeles, looking casual in a jumpsuit, sandals, and chic glasses.
That's such a smart outfit for a summer day.
But she wasn't wearing a ring on her left-hand ring finger.
Is it so? I know some people keep the wedding ring on for a while, and it becomes part of the deal. Some people just rip it right off. That's usually, you know, for TMZ and for all the gossip columnists and online gossip sites, that's the thing they look for, that's wedding ring removal.
Mm-hmm. Clarkson was photographed shortly after news broke that the American Idol winner had cited irreconcilable differences in court documents obtained by E! News. Clarkson also requested joint legal and physical custody of their two children, 6-year-old daughter River Rose and 4-year-old son Remington Alexander. The couple, who wed in 2013 in Tennessee, have remained silent about the news, but members of the family's inner circle told E! News that the separation came as a total shock. It came out of nowhere, one insider said. It was also sad for the kids. They were always such a loving family. It never seemed like they had any issues.
And he's her manager. He was her manager.
I had read last week that it was because of her hectic schedule. You know, she's got a talk show now. So I don't know.
You would have thought the quarantine would have reversed that, that they would get to spend time together.
The source added that the situation was quite shocking to friends and of the duo, adding that their mutual acquaintances have been texting each other over the disbelief that the couple is splitting.
The friends have to divide up who their loyalties are with now.
Another insider who's close to the Kelly Clarkson show reiterated the confusion, saying Brandon was around all the time on almost all show days, and they were very loving towards one another. They drove home from set together every night. So this kind of blindsided a few people, yeah.
Steve, I think if my wife and I were to split, I think I would retain one friend. I think I would get Jeff, and I think I would lose everybody.
Everybody
else
would go with Diane?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I don't know. I think I'm pretty likable. I don't know how the split would be. You know, I'd like to think I'd keep a few.
When you said that, I was like, huh. Oh, no. I would get Mike, too. I would get Jeff and Mike.
Mike 1 and Mike 2?
No. I would get Mike as well.
Okay.
I would get Jeff and Mike.
Mike and Jeff, and that's it.
Those are my friends that I had going into the relationship.
All right.
Yeah.
God, I've never thought about
Me
that.
Me neither.
And Rochelle would win. She would absolutely win.
You would have to move back to St. Louis, would
I
you
probably
not?
Would. Probably would.
So, well, yeah.
And even there, you probably would only get Steve.
Yeah. And the original Steve, not me. Yeah. I'm Steve 2.0.
Yeah. You'll go with Rochelle.
Wow. That's a serious assessment that I think we could all make, and maybe...
I've had to make
one. Yeah, right? Some
would you guys be with me, or would you guys go with Claire?
Claire.
Okay. I knew it.
I'd be with you, man.
Thank you, man.
You give me better presents.
I love her. Yeah.
What if Preston and Steve got divorced? Who would you guys go with?
Oh, don't you even. Don't you even.
They're never getting split.
You know what?
I was secretly
Preston and
both.
I made an agreement years ago that failure's not an option, and we always work on it.
That's right.
And the thing is,
we never go to bed angry.
And we always kept the physical part of the relationship alive.
You have to do that.
Right?
If they had to have the conversation with us, we still love all of you guys very much. We're going to co-parent together.
But you're going to be seeing Daddy Steve a little less now.
Think about that in your life. That's kind of interesting.
I think even my kids would start calling me Casey.
Wouldn't be dad anymore?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I told you guys this before. Matt Cord has forever told me, I would never go with you in a divorce.
No kidding.
Dennis
wins out.
Go with Bubba.
Yeah. That was my friend.
Wow.
And he will outright tell me that.
That's, well, you know, sometimes that happens. All right, we got to move on because I have important news. Someone has changed their hairstyle.
Oh, no.
Dramatically, I know, I know. Wait, yep, here we go. And by the way, the person that sent me this story led with peanut chop. They wrote that down because that's what you say when someone changes their hair. Shaun White is not only known for his killer snowboarding skills, you know, the flying tomato.
Yes.
He's also known for his fiery red locks. Well, the 33-year-old famous redhead is switching things up, taking his hair color to a platinum level.
Whoa.
On Friday, the Olympian shared a picture with the caption, Shaun LeBlanc, showcasing his new blonde do. One fan commented, literally, Shaun White. I think it looks great on him.
It does. He looks a little bit like Megan Rapinoe. Right? Is that her name?
Rapinoe.
Rapinoe, yeah.
The day before, the athlete shared a photo of his colorist from his colorist chair with his finger over his mouth in a shushing motion, smirking at the camera with his hair covered in bleach. After seeing the finished product, fans seemed to be torn about whether they love it or loathe it. Some commented their support for the fresh do, while others articulated their disappointment.
I think it looks good.
This isn't the first time that he has made a drastic change to his look. Formerly known as the Flying Tomato for his long, wavy red locks, he cut it all off for a good cause in 2012 and started sporting a much more cleaner look thereafter. Yeah, it looks good on him.
You know, Kathy, is this the first time you've seen Casey's quaff in person?
In person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think?
Well, it's growing out now. Now he's got like multiple colors in there.
Yeah. It blends together nicely, don't you think?
It looks good.
Yeah. It's like an ombre, right? Isn't that what they call it?
A ringing
ombre.
Endorsement.
Well, it's not an ombre.
It looks per se. Good.
Kathy says it looks interesting.
Well, listen, I also just took my hat off, but man, when I put a little product in there,
it looks good.
Mm-hmm. Step back, girlfriend.
Yeah.
So, Equilibrium director Kurt Wimmer managed to wrap production on Children of the Corn, filmed entirely during lockdown. The reimagining of Stephen King's classic short story, which I didn't know this, has inspired 10 feature films.
Yes.
10 of
them? Yes. Yes. The last one was Children of the Corn, Nerds in Paradise.
I've only seen the first one. That was it.
So I've seen a couple of them, and a couple of the ones out of the gate were pretty good. And then there was a second. They did another TV series, a mini series based on it.
I've never seen any. Can you just give me do they live in a cornfield? Or?
Well,
they live in a small town,
right?
A rural town, and the children take over the town because they hear this thing called He Who Walks Behind the Rose telling them to kill all the parents.
No, I don't like it.
Which they do. They butcher them.
Oh.
Yeah. And sacrifice. Stephen King? Oh. Yeah.
Yep. So, anyhow, the cast includes Elena Kamporis, Kate Moyer, with Australian talent Callan Mulvey, and Bruce Spence. And so, yeah, I guess they're going to go for it. But I'll give it. If it's along the lines of the first, you know, original short story, I'll be happy with that. I don't want to say.
I like the original. I mean, I like the story's good. Any of that sort of stuff where they arrive at a rural town and there's something going on and, you know, you.
Yeah.
There was another story that was a miniseries. Remember that movie with Bette Davis was a miniseries?
Yes.
Harvest.
Yep.
Something or other.
And know the one you're talking about, Steve, and I couldn't
and
give you the name.
It has one of those real, it's almost like the Wicker Man type of ending.
It's where the women.
Yeah, it's a matriarchal society.
Cuts the tongues out. Yeah, yeah. I remember that. That was pretty wild.
It was pretty good, yeah.
Kind of effed me up as a kid a little bit when I saw that.
Yeah.
This could be cool. So we'll see when. I have no idea as far as a release date goes. But and Children of the Corn actually is loosely tied to the Dark Tower and Flag and the Stand and stuff like that. It's just a little tendril to it.
So is, okay, and not to get too specific here for people who aren't familiar with the source material, but is He Who Walks Behind the Rose, does he have any connection to Randall Flagg?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
It's been so long since I've read that story. Ah. I should probably go back to it, but there is a little bit of a crossover. Yeah, it might be him. All right, let's see. What else we have here? Baby Driver star Lily James is set to lead Peggy Jo, which will be helmed by Philip Noyce.
Noyce.
It's the only reason I brought this story up. The story follows Peggy Jo, who begins holding up banks as an alter ego named Cowboy Bob. And that's all that I have on that.
Count me in.
All right.
I thought you were going to say Baby Wheel was the sequel to Baby Driver. But
one last story, and that is Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist will spin again on NBC. Jane Levy stars with Skylar Austin, Alex Newell, Peter Gallagher, Mary Steenburgen, and Lauren Graham, also featuring heavily in one of the network's strongest digital performers. I never saw Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
So basically, it's she has occurrences in her life that where people will suddenly express their feelings by breaking out into song and dance.
Oh, okay.
So when they say things, she sees it as these production numbers.
Okay, I gotcha. So that's coming, I don't know when, but that will be headed to NBC, so it is going to happen. All right, we should get to the clips, of course. And we are going to lead with this one. The Thomas John Experience features the psychic medium's journey across the country to connect people with their loved ones on the other side. In this clip, Thomas discusses how he discovered his supernatural abilities. Here we go.
I always feel like it happened in stages because when I was 4 years old, I started to see spirits, loved ones. People that I didn't know who they were would visit me, and they would be for like family members or, you know, my grandfather started to visit me that I never met. So that's definitely when I started to recognize. The problem is nobody ever sat down and said, oh, by the way, you know, you're a medium.
You should be medicated.
The Thomas John Experience is streaming now on CBS All Access.
Ugh.
I know. Yeah.
I just wanted to watch the freaking golf match yesterday. And
This came on?
No. Just I hate.
Just knowing it was out there.
I hate CBS All Access.
Oh,
sorry. I should probably turn my nose up at mediums.
Ah!
But having to pay for basic TV really chaps my ass.
Wait, that's here's a show I would never watch, and now you want to make me pay for it?
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. It's too much of this stuff. Knock it off.
All right, here we go. Next book.
Ah!
Sorry. I just wanted to watch the Charles Schwab Classic.
I just want a place to sit.
And why couldn't you?
Because I was down the shore, I was watching on my Roku, and every other channel I don't have to pay for. But this one, I have to pay for. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I am not paying $6 to watch
this. This is like an Agatha Christie mystery.
It really is. I apologize for boring you all.
If you find the adult version impressive, just wait until you see how athletic these young kids are in American Ninja Warrior Jr. In this clip, host Victoria Arlen talks about the show serving as a stepping stone for potential Olympic athletes. Here we go.
What I love about the ninja spirit is really anything's possible. And these kids and their parents and their families find a way. So I would love to see that. I think, honestly, these kids are limitless. And they really, if they set their mind to doing something, they'll do it.
Shut the
Season 2 of American Ninja Warrior Jr. can be viewed on Universal Kids.
Of course it can.
By the way, is that a pay service?
Sounds like it
Universal
is.
Universal Kids does sound like it, doesn't it? All right, and there you go. That's what I have. I just wanted to watch the regular Ninja Warriors.
Yeah.
All right, and that's what I have for you. Okay, let's take a break. Let's come back in a moment. It's a Monday morning, new week, beautiful weather this week. We're going to have a good time together, and we will get to it all in a moment.
Back in the olden days, about 5 years ago, your only options to keep listening to WMMR when you got home would be to drive your car into your living room or turn on something called a radio. But now, through modern technology, the smart speaker that's secretly collecting data on you...
What did you say?
...can also stream WMMR. Just tell Alexa or Google to open MMR, and magically we'll come streaming into your home. Plus, it may help distract your device from becoming self-aware. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
There's a story that I stumbled across over the weekend, and it's going to hurt a little when you hear it, a painful incident for someone, but I'm sure that there are people listening that have had similar things, but maybe not quite this intense. It was a woman who wrote her story on Reddit. She recently had an incident with her cat in the middle of the night that led to some stitches. Now, I'll give you the full rundown of how this played out, and the kicker is exactly the injury and what happened. So It all started one day when there was a tornado watch that hit her county. She filled her water, her bathtub with water.
Yeah.
Because in case the something happens and the water system is compromised, you have some fresh water there to drink or bathe or whatever you need to do. So luckily, no tornado ever came close enough to hit her area, and the bathtub water was no longer needed. But still, seems she made one fateful error. She forgot to drain the bathtub before she went to bed. When she woke up the next morning, she went to pee, and in the process, her 10-month-old kitten sauntered into the room and did one of his newfound favorite things. He attempted to jump into the bathtub, not realizing it was filled with water.
Right. Big mistake.
Instead of finding an empty tub to run around in, he was met with several feet of icy cold water. She said, quote, he let out this god-awful shriek like he had just jumped into a vat of acid. But that's when she made another fateful error. She said, like a total idiot, I sprung into action to save him, still pantless. And her attempts to rescue the little guy proved trickier than she expected. She said, if any of you are experienced with trying to, quote, help a panicked cat, you know, it's like trying to help a cyclone made out of knives. While I reached into the tub to grab him, he bit my finger in a total panic and then started to climb my arm like it was a branch made out of really thick, tough tree bark. Except it was my arm. It's made out of human skin, so he left massive scratches. I screamed and automatically shook him off. Now, what transpired next happened in what she felt like was slow motion. She said, as he fell towards the water, towards what I think he presumed was his watery grave, he used his kitty flexibility to twist around and take a swipe at the closest thing that he could reach. The closest thing was my bare vulva.
No! Oh, my!
He got his claws right up in the mons pubis.
Oh, dear God.
She said there were worse places there for his claws to dig in, I guess.
Dear God.
But it wasn't. I wasn't really thinking about that when he had his claws nice and deep in there like he was trying to dig a new hole or something. The worst part is, she said, it didn't even save him. He still fell into the water. He managed to get out pretty quickly without my interference, which made me feel pretty stupid. Well, before she knew it, she was left standing there. She was covered in blood and horrified by the whole thing.
Because that area is going to bleed a lot.
Yeah, she said before she knew it, she was at her computer Googling how long bleeding, how much bleeding hospital. Then she called her mom. Despite the coronavirus, she ultimately decided she should go to the hospital, but not before creating a makeshift bandage of sorts.
At that point, Preston, wouldn't you just get into the tub and slit your wrist? it's already there.
So she said, I put a pad in my underwear and fashioned a weird diaper bandage so that I could put pants on.
Oh my gosh.
Her mom drove her over and then dropped her off at the hospital.
She's pretty collected to be doing all this.
Once she was inside, she had the enjoyment of having to explain her injuries, of course, to the people in the ER.
Once the laughter died down.
And she said, my doctor was this young, attractive guy who I think was definitely younger than me. I don't know why it would have been better if he was old and ugly, but it would have been. He stared intently at my vulva for a long time, and then he had to do a stitch, which meant he was looking at it for even longer after that. And she said he was more concerned about the cat bite on my finger, which was a bit gnarlier, to be honest, but much less embarrassing. And he gave that 3 stitches and told me in so many words not to, quote, save the cat next time.
So how many stitches on the
I only think she
cooter.
She had a stitch, but okay. Still. Yeah, if you got to get a stitch down there, and cats, especially, that was a 10-month-old. They're like razors. They're claws.
A cat of we had 10 cats. One of them, Tingles, passed away a little while ago. But Tingles, Preston, had Freddy Krueger like talons.
Yeah,
and she was having an issue. She was stuck on something, and I was trying to help her. Same deal, and they just start contorting and flipping around. And my hands were so butchered. I think I came in and showed you guys the day after.
Yeah.
And my hands were so sore that I couldn't even close my
Yeah.
I mean, because she had when they say, you know, the phrase slice to ribbons, yeah. That's what she did to me.
Wow. Well, yeah, their nails get razor sharp, especially if you don't, you know, cut them and keep up with them. But I went through this down this YouTube hole of people trying to bathe their cats.
What? Okay.
But there's like a series and people get in the bath with them. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It's so now there's, you know, this guy in his bathing suit, no shirt on. And no. Same thing like this woman. The cat is like crawling up his back and down his arm. No.
If you're going to do that, wear the exact same outfit Batman wears at the end of Batman v Superman, because you've got to be covered. As going in there with just a bathing suit and your junk readily accessible,
when you're
no effing way.
When your skin gets wet, it gets more tender and everything too. Here's the thing about cats: don't even know how to play properly with humans. Like when I play with my dogs. My dog will be growling and biting, but he's not full biting. You know what I mean? He's like,
yeah, mine do the same. They play bite. Absolutely.
Cats don't know how to do that. They don't know how to play scratch.
Some of them do. Some of them don't. And the ones that don't are going to make you bleed.
Yeah.
Like all the time.
I didn't know if there was any other people listening that may have had pet / genital stories. 215-263-WMMR if you do.
There is a classic video. I think one of the first video, you know, memes, if you will, that started to make the rounds. It's of a police officer talking about a pet adoption program and how they were helping to get pets adopted. And he had a cat on a leash. And this is going back years and years and years. And the cat goes nuts and then clamps down between his legs on his upper thigh.
Oh.
And he can't pull because it'll slice his sack in half.
Yes.
But the footage is just, anyone who watches this can feel every second of the pain of those nails digging into the upper thigh.
Wow.
Because they freak out.
The only thing that's ever happened to me involving animals and the privates is and it happens quite a bit, and it's usually a lab where if I'm sitting on a couch, my friends have a dog, the lab will come over, big dog's running, big
dog's out,
no, and it will both paws, boom,
right on your nuts,
right in my crotch. Bang. Mm-hmm. Every time it drives me crazy.
So I have two big cats with me every night. It is Hubert and Lily. And Lily loves to get up, and she does that thing that sort of the paws up and down and up and down as they're sort of preparing their sleep spot. One night, Preston, right over my sack, and the nails went right in, and I'm like, I mean, I screamed so loud. Claire was outside, and she heard it, and it was just unbelievable. What are you going to do? And they look at you like, what?
Yeah. My dog is so big and dumb that I really have to, and I've learned sort of by trial and error what I should expect from him. We have clanked heads many times, and his head is as hard as a rock.
Yeah.
He's also like 80 pounds, and when he's like sitting on you or near you, he doesn't know to not spring off of you to go at a full sprint.
Because the spring will knock your nuts up into your throat.
No doubt. No doubt. And he's come very, very close. But because I'm sort of expecting it, I know to sort of protect myself.
When the dog gets up to a full run, if you had this happen, because I had it happen years ago with our Great Dane. We had a Great Dane who went running. I turned around and was chasing after something and head right into my balls.
Oh.
I mean, at a full, this horse, this dog, when it would run, it actually sounded like a hawk.
Yeah.
And I mean, I got clocked. I was on the verge of throwing up. That's how hard he hit my nuts.
And the thing about Great Danes is they are Clem, right?
Yeah, Clem. Yeah,
They are so big and scary looking, but everyone that I've ever met is just the sweetest thing.
They
but
are. They also that's don't, that, yeah, when they step on your nuts.
They don't realize how big and tough they are. So we don't have an electric fence in my yard, and we don't have a fence in my yard, so we have to put the dogs out on leads if we're not going to take them for a walk. And the big dog, Reggie, oh my gosh, took my oldest daughter out, and she came so close to basically just smashing her whole face into the pavement because she was sitting there in the driveway.
I mean,
and the lead came, and it didn't come from behind. It came from the front. And I'm telling you, it was about a quarter of an inch from her whole face smashing on the pavement.
Yeah.
All right, back to this, the genital injuries from pets. I'm going to go to Janelle. Hey, Janelle, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Janelle. What were you going to tell us?
Yeah, so I had a little kitten. I had just gotten him, and I thought it would be a good idea to carry him out to get my mail, walk down to the end of the driveway, have him tucked up across my chest, and just freaked out, decided he was going to leap off, and when he did so, his tiny little kitten nails went right through my shirt, right through my bra, right across, you know, the your, nice little area.
Your nipple.
Bleeding and have scars to this day.
Oh, my God.
Ow.
They're little hypodermics, they're the kitten nails.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Totally. It was horrible. And then I threw him and eventually had to go track him down.
Right.
And they don't know. They don't know that he's that the little furry kittens just ripped your nipple off.
Thanks, Janelle.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's funny because cats will change their tone. If they're inside and you take them outside, it's like they're a different animal.
We had a cat, Peanut, and Peanut had come from an abused home, and there was a cat hoarder and everything. Get her outside. She was so interested in going outside, Preston. The wind was scaring her.
Yeah.
She was like, and it started freaking, get her inside, get her inside, get her inside now.
I'm going to go to Will. Hey, Will, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, Will?
Hey, so I got a Great Dane named Bruce, and we, you know, we got a pretty big backyard, so we play catch all the time. And my son and I were out there, and threw the ball to Bruce. Bruce comes back. He's big. He's large, like 120 pounds. And for some reason, I don't know what prompted him to do so, but as he was running over to me, he reared up on his hind leg, and I don't know if you've ever seen a Great Dane in that fashion, but
yes.
He's larger than a normal human being. I mean, he's very big. Okay. And as he was coming down, he swipes my sack area. And super long and short is I ended up getting something called epididymitis from that. And it's actually almost like a testicular torsion. And the bottom portion of, again, that area wound up super tight and nothing could flow through it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So my left side literally grew to about not the full size of a baseball, but pretty darn close. And they had to go in and drain it and untangle it. It was unreal,
dude. So the dog reared up, caught your sack, shut off the flow to one side of the sack, and as a result, your other nut became the size of like a hardball.
Just about. I don't want to over embellish, but it was absolutely massive. Yeah,
Jesus. And at the moment that collision took place. You must have almost passed out.
One of the third or fourth times my son's ever seen me cry.
Wow.
That was terrible.
Damn, Will. Do you have any permanent issues because of that?
No. We actually had another kid afterwards and got the good old vasectomy afterwards, which I was halfway there.
All right. Yeah. Halfway there. The dog took care of the first part.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good one, Will. Thank you. Appreciate it. They're huge.
I mean,
you said, when they're up on their hind quarters, they can be taller, way taller than you.
Well, Clem was 6'3" on her hind legs.
Man. Let's see. I will go to Teresa next. Hey, Teresa.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks to you. What's happening?
So I've got two for you, actually. One is a daily occurrence that my sweet baby Ginny, I love her to death. She'll try to come up and cuddle on my chest and steps on my nipples every single time.
And uses her claws come out?
Sometimes. I mean, if we don't trim them and they get that extra little bit pointy, they dig in. Oh, she sucks.
Even if
the worst.
You know this, Teresa, though. Even if you trim them and they catch you the right way, they'll slice you the F up. It's painful as hell.
But I think what Teresa's talking about, the nails don't need to be out. Like, if that happens, that's that's not fun at all.
Here's one that says, my kitten used to suckle me at night when I would sleep.
Oh, man.
Really?
Suckle what, though?
Suckle what?
It's a woman. It says something different. I'm paraphrasing.
Oh, why are you yelling at me, man? I didn't think it was a man, but I was wondering if it was suckling her arm or her, like, breast.
No, her nipples.
Okay.
Suckling her nipples is what it says.
That's weird.
I was paraphrasing. That's what suckle means.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... and then, Steve, this one says, hang on a second here. I wanted to ask you, it says, can Steve please tell the story how his cat choked on rose petals on Valentine's Day and he was giving the Heimlich maneuver naked?
That was not, my junk was completely intact during that one, though, but I figured I was going to do a romantic thing, laid out rose petals and, into the bedroom and the whole thing. and my wife and I go into the bedroom, and I'm naked, and she's, you know, she's getting naked, and we're starting to get amorous, and I hear, and my cat, I believe it was Mac, had started eating the petals and was choking on them. So I'm like, oh, God damn it. I get up and I'm like, and I'm literally performing the Heimlich on the cat. And I'm like, oh, this can't be happening. I'm naked. I could have risked having my sack split open on that because he's freaking out. But I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? Finally, I got it out of his mouth. But yeah, rose petals. So I never did that again.
What you were doing, did that help the cat or the cat get it out on its own?
It seemed to. I would like to think I helped. The cat probably got it out on its own. But that was, yeah, that was a joy.
By the way, Casey, the cat that was suckling actually was a man. Texted back and says, no, I'm a man. let me go to Mike. He didn't have this genital injury, but had something else happen. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
Yeah, I was throwing a ball into the closet with my dog, and I had a Jolly Rancher in my mouth. And for some reason, when it was in my mouth, I flipped it up in front of my teeth. And out of nowhere, the dog just comes barreling into me and hits me right in the face. And the Jolly Rancher smashes out two of my front teeth.
Holy crap.
So the dog wanted to get at the Jolly Rancher.
I don't even know why I would put the Jolly Rancher in the front of my teeth in the first place. But at that moment, the dog just came barreling into me and his ass hit me right in the face. And the Jolly Rancher broke two of my front teeth out.
Knocked your two front teeth out.
Jesus.
I mean, tell you, man, and you know this for a fact, Mike, a dog gets up a good head of steam and it's a moderate size. Yeah. It can kick your ass.
Here's a good 20 miles an hour at least, I'm sure.
My dog's Chelsea is like 45, 50 pounds. But when she locks, she's part pit. When she locks and starts to pull, you know, my wife can. I can handle it. But the strength, the traction is amazing.
God. Yeah, we went over to some friend's house, and they have a Boston Terrier that likes to play tug of war. And as opposed to my Yorkies, this thing has a jaw that's like a steel trap. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
these things mean business when they clamp down.
That's why when you see, did you see the last John Wick 3, Parabellum? Okay, they're attack dogs, and one of their maneuvers is chomping on the nuts.
Oof.
And I mean, you know that's happened, in attacks and stuff like that. But dear God, that's why when you see... You know, the attack dogs or the guard dogs. It's like, no, I'll don't worry. Step back, guys. I'll kill myself.
Yeah, exactly. Let me go to Armin. Armin, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
No, it's all good. What's up, bud?
Not much. So I have a cat, right? Her name's Minky. She's absolutely the love of my life. But she hangs out on top of the cabinets, and she lays in wait like a ninja, and she'll jump. Straight at me with her claws right on my back. And it's like fine, like I'm kind of used to it, but like it still startles me. So I try to shake her off. My back and my shoulders are all tore up all the time.
Yeah.
So you just.
It sucks.
Go ahead.
I'll have company over sometimes and they don't know and they don't even know I have a cat. And this thing will just jump on their back and I have to apologize.
Dude, that's terrifying if you're walking along and something jumps on your back with claws.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. Imagine, you know, explaining that to some company.
Right, exactly. Thanks.
And other thing she does, right, she is the biggest C block in bed. I'm like, me and my girlfriend are like, you know, about to get into it. She'll like hop on her back, and now I got both of them looking at me. It's like the weirdest thing ever.
Honestly, that has happened so many times. Well, that's my wife and I sleep, you know, in separate beds now because it's just the way our sleeping patterns are that. But cats especially will F up any. We've had so many amorous situations just killed by the cat. Because the cat's looking at you. I remember just going to town orally on my wife. And then you look up and, hey, you're how like, you doing? What you doing there? And it's like, oh, no.
Can I join in?
Yeah. I do that too.
We used to have, going back to what he said about the attacking cat, one of the best pets we ever had was this cat named Taffy. And his thing was he would hide at the bottom of the stairs. There was a piece of furniture he'd hide behind. If you walk down the stairs, he would jump out and attack your feet. And I mean, like, you know, go at it. And it was just his thing. And whenever we would have people over, They were victims as well, and they didn't know it was coming, and we couldn't figure out what that was. His game, you know, he liked to play.
And you try to explain to guests. Of course, then again, it'll also help if you like to keep people out of your house. No, we'll pass.
Yeah,
you have that lunatic animal,
Steve. There's a scene in the movie Airplane where the guy from the airport goes over to pick up the man's wife, and comes to the house, and they've got a dog, it's a golden retriever. And the dog just starts attacking him, and she's going, "Oh, stop that!" You know,
and right? And he's screaming.
That does kind of drive me crazy when people, "Oh, he does that all the time," and the dog is like, you know, attacking you. It's
I hate that.
I know.
Control your animal.
Yeah.
Oh, he likes you.
He likes you.
See, he likes you.
My dog is a big time barker, and he will bark and bark and bark. But when people come into the house, I just say, "Don't pet him. Like, don't even reach out. Just ignore him. It's the best thing you can do. Because he's not, he sounds more vicious than he really is. I don't know why he does it. I don't know if he's
protecting the house.
If he's protecting us, protecting the house or whatever. But if
you pet him, he starts to become barky?
No. If you just come to the door, he becomes barky. Like, he's just. And so a lot of times, like, when people come over, we have to put him in another room. Right. Because he's just, because he's kind of scary. But I know deep down in my heart he's not going to attack anybody.
Right.
You know?
Right. Let me assume. Let me go to Jason. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
Dad Zooks,
what's up, buddy?
I had a Beagle Pug Mix puppy. He was about 2 months old. I used to be a bouncer at a bar, so I came home like 3 o'clock in the morning, picked him up, took my shirt off, I was laying on the sofa, had him lay on my chest, I'm petting him. And he's falling asleep, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, he perks up and grabs hold of my nipple ring and pulls it out.
Oh. He ripped your nipple ring out?
He ripped it right out.
By the way, here's a question. If your nipple gets ripped like that, does it grow back the way that it was before?
Mine did, fortunately. I took care of it the right way. My wife was happy to be my body piercer, so...
Okay.
That's what they say. Always marry your body piercer.
Wow, dude. What is that sensation like, getting an...
It hurt like nothing else. I mean, I went like a stick pig. I felt like I should put a tampon on my nipple.
You put a tampon on your nipple, did you say?
It's pretty much what I felt like I wanted to do. I mean, that's so much gauze. It was ridiculous.
Wow. Well, there you go. You learn.
Is there more like blood vessels there? Because I always heard that your forehead will bleed more because there's like more blood vessels up there.
It's also shallow too. Yeah. You know, I think those wounds tend to, you know, honestly, if you've ever, Preston, you've done it where you've been shaving the boys or whatever, and you nick yourself.
Yep.
Man,
it won't stop bleeding.
It won't stop bleeding.
I'm going to go to Kelly. Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Kelly?
So my boyfriend does not wake up for anything, so I trained my dog to, we call it, get the tail, and she'll shove her nose right up into his boxers and goes after his junk.
You've trained your dog to attack your boyfriend's junk to wake him up?
Yes. She gently attacks. Once he realized it was the dog, he wasn't as happy, but he thought it was a pleasant wake up.
Wow. Hey, next time he's drunk, see if you can pass the dog off as you. God.
How did you teach the dog to do that?
If you make any kind of weird noises, she goes after it. So I would do like raspberries on his upper thigh, and that would get her to jam her nose up there.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. That's a good idea, too.
And she does it. If there's any guy around, I say, get the towel. She'll ram her face right up.
The towel.
Wow. How many lonely dudes do you think are going to adopt dogs after this call?
Thanks, Kelly. Oh, my God. Wow. That's messed up. Well, listen, this gal had we got this story started because, or this conversation started. This woman was, her cat jumped in the tub. The cat didn't know there was water in the tub. She was going to the bathroom. She tried to get the cat out. The cat went crazy, crawled up on her, and then as it fell again, reached out and claws in her private area, and she ended up having to go to the hospital. There was blood all over the place. I had to get stitches and the whole thing. I can't even imagine how painful that would be.
I might be inclined to just bleed out rather than go and have to explain it to anybody. Yeah.
It's supposed to be, you know, like a pleasant way to go, right? You just drift off.
Yeah.
Wow. All All right, well, thank you for sharing, and we apologize for all the crossed legs this morning. We're going to take a break and come back in a second, and when we do, some bizarre file stories from the weekend that I think you will enjoy, so make sure you stay put. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Real quick, if you don't mind, I'm going to do a charity plug here. It's a tragic thing happened, and a friend of mine who's a state trooper got in touch with me. His wife's family is a trooper Hanning, this is just terrible. This Janine Meekum had passed away 3 months ago, had cancer, and then her husband just recently died. They have five kids.
Oh, my
five
God.
Five kids. It's just terrible. So obviously there is a GoFundMe that is set up. If you can help this family out, I mean, there's five children that don't have parents anymore.
Is it on our page right now?
It is. I sent it over to Nick. He's got it up on PrestonandSteve.com. So if you do have the means to help out, please do. And you can find that on our website. And, you know, there are other great charities and events coming up. But here's, I mean, you know, what are these kids going to do? It's terrible. They've got family and friends, but they're obviously going to need some support down the road. So if you could do that, that would be wonderful, and we appreciate it. On a lighter note, I got this email. It's a follow-up. You remember I'd gotten a guy had gotten in touch with me, I believe in Illinois. I'd have to go back and check, but he's on a horse farm.
Yes, where they grow horses.
No, but he had the opportunity to help name one of the new fillies.
Yes, yeah, I remember this.
And people put in their submission for a name, and the first filly that this mare had given birth to started with the letter A, so they're going to go with the letter B. And this guy recommended that they name the horse Bajmir, which is rim job backwards.
Rim job.
This is from John. He says... One more time, if you would.
Dream job.
Dream job. So, hey, Preston, so I had the chance to sit down with the wife and discuss our new filly's name last night and the name we decided for her. Drum roll, please. Bajmir.
Yeah!
Dream job. He said, I don't know how I was able to pull it off. And by that, I mean have a serious discussion without laughing or giving it away. But, yeah, she thought the name was very pretty. Oh, thanks for helping me in naming her, and no sad, bro.
Dream job.
So that is from John, wow. And the horse's name is Bajmir. And, look, he sent me pictures.
We didn't know if he'd be able to, as you said, no pun intended, pull this off. But, wow, yeah, beautiful horse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Kathy.
I see it.
Pretty, right?
They're magnificent animals.
Yes. Yeah, so that is, this is Bajmir.
Bajmir.
Dream guy.
I think that's
Rim right. Job is at the gate. Rim Job is at the gate.
So it's official. There's a horse named Bajmir, and he's keeping it secret. And they're in Illinois, so nobody on the farm knows.
Oh my God!
That it's rim job backwards. All right, we need to do the bizarre file. Here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
All right, it is brought to you by Sequoia Outback. Whether you're looking to build a new deck or freshen up the patio with new furniture, Sequoia Outback has everything you need to create your backyard oasis. Route 309 in Hatfield or online at decksupplies.com. A dog walker who threw a bag of poop at what's called, this is in the UK, so a milk float was punched so hard that he was left with a broken jaw and a missing tooth after the milkman lost his temper.
Whoa.
Mr. Boyes alleged the milkman almost hit him and his dog with his float. The dog walker was so incensed that when he saw McLeod minutes later, he lobbed a bag of the freshly collected dog poop at his vehicle. And a court heard how Mr. McLeod, a milkman for 40 years, then jumped out of the float and launched a ferocious attack on Mr. Boyes. I'm assuming it's like a milk truck, I guess.
I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah. Boop, boop. Boya suffered a fractured jaw and a lost tooth. He also needed surgery to have a metal plate fitted. Appearing at Crown Court this week, McLeod was handed a 21-month sentence suspended for 2 years. He pleaded guilty to assault, and his lawyer, Mark Stewart, said that his client didn't think he drove too close to Mr. Boya's and questioned how fast a milk float could possibly have been going. He did admit McLeod lost his temper and reacted very badly. Mr. Stewart said he's both ashamed and very remorseful, particularly with the injury to the complaint.
He's also a lunatic.
And the defendant was ordered to complete 30 rehabilitation days, 120 hours unpaid work, and pay Mr. Boyes about $1,000.
You put a lunatic like that behind the wheel of a milk float?
Oh, you never know what's going to happen. A probable cause statement released on Thursday said an argument over a man asking his dog to poop led to a deadly shooting.
Oh, man.
According, I have a few dog stories. According to the document, a man and his girlfriend were walking their dog. This is in Denver, by the way. The male victim told police that he prompted his dog to poop, and a man in the apartment yelled at him, saying, "Are you going to train your dog or just yell at it?" The victim also told police that he tried to ignore the suspect, but the suspect proceeded to fire shots, hitting him and his girlfriend.
From his window?
Yeah, and the man's girlfriend was killed in the shooting.
Oh, wow.
It's terrible.
Over a dog taking a dump?
Yeah, or at least the guy telling the dog to take a dump. The man was taken to the hospital and is expected to survive. The female was identified as Isabella Fallis. She just turned 21 that week, by the way. The male victim was Darian Simone. He's 26. Police said the shooting happened just before noon. The suspect identified as Michael Close. He is being held for investigation of first-degree murder and aggravated assault. Now, two Kentucky residents were indicted Monday for sexual crimes against an animal. And the reason I bring this up is this is Kentucky's first indictment of bestiality since the act was outlawed in 2019. It was just outlawed last year.
We did it.
The jury indicted Christopher Jones and Nolene Horn on two counts of sexual crimes against an animal.
Nolene, I hear it's illegal now. What? Never been illegal here. Last year.
Sexual crimes against an animal is a Class D felony. The law, which took effect on June 27, 2019, made sexual crimes committed against an animal a Class D felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Court date is scheduled for the...
Which one is it, Fido?
The defendant's argument on June 23rd. But up until then, it was all have at it, I guess. Wow. A woman was arrested after attempting to book a flight at the New Orleans airport absolutely 100% naked, after which she had refused to depart. Mariel Vergara allegedly strolled up to the Spirit Airways counter at Louis Armstrong Worldwide Airport on Friday evening without a stitch of clothes on.
Is it possible she was just trying to make sure she got through TSA check quicker?
Airline officers instructed her she wouldn't find a way to journey in her present getup or lack thereof and requested her to depart. However, she refused. By the point a deputy arrived, Vergara had pulled on a gown. Nevertheless, it was too brief to cowl her genitals. And he or she had no underwear on. She allegedly ignored orders to depart and scuffled with deputies, and she was taken into custody. She was booked on fees of obscenity, resisting arrest, battery of a police officer, easy battery, and remaining in the spot after being forbidden. She was being held in the county jail on $5,000 bond.
It's going to be very interesting when people start really flying again.
Yeah, right.
Stuff like that.
A Boston man led several police departments on a roughly 20-mile car chase through Massachusetts and New Hampshire on Thursday with his five children in the vehicle. It was around 11:42 a.m. Officers in Plaistow, New Hampshire, were told by the Haverhill Police Department in Massachusetts to look out for a blue Honda Odyssey.
I gotta go to the bathroom, Daddy.
Police initially reported a man, 29-year-old Alpalus Slyman, had thrown the woman from the car while in Massachusetts, but authorities later noted that the woman, identified as Slyman's wife, had actually jumped out of the vehicle.
Oh.
About 15 minutes after being told to be on alert for the Honda, a deputy saw the car traveling in the northbound lanes of Route 125. Authorities attempted to halt the minivan, but the car refused to stop. The sheriff's office said it was then told by police that the incident was being live-streamed from inside the suspect's vehicle.
Wow.
In multiple videos, Slyman live stream on Facebook. People in his car can be heard crying and screaming.
It was also picked up by Hulu.
Asking the Boston man to stop the vehicle and telling him he's driving like a madman.
You're driving a lot. You're driving a lot.
At one point, Slyman claimed his neighbors were spies. He also posted earlier Thursday morning The coronavirus was man-made, and former President John F. Kennedy faked his death. Dispatchers
was he going to visit him?
Were able to connect to the feed and advise deputies and officers that passengers in the vehicle were distressed and needing help. Maybe he was headed that way.
Yeah, good to see you, Slimin.
Yeah. Stop sticks and tire deflation device were eventually deployed and blew out the Honda's tires. The vehicle still drove off the road, struck another car, and continued to flee. The pursuit continued at a low speed after that. The minivan was eventually boxed in by a car from the sheriff's office. After being trapped by police, the suspect rammed one of the cruisers with his vehicle. He was then accused of driving into a tree and finally came to a stop. By the time the chase was over, the suspect had driven nearly 20 miles through 9 communities.
Wow.
Slimin was taken into custody without incident and brought to the county jail in Brentwood, New Hampshire for booking. The 5 children in his car were an 8-month-old, a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 5-year-old, and 13-year-old. They were all uninjured, and they were all his kids, by the way.
I wonder what the hell they thought was going on.
I don't know, but it seems like sometimes the crazy people reproduce like...
like crazy.
Like crazy.
Hey, kids, you want to go visit JFK?
Right.
Wow.
Okay, so he's going to jail, but he was live streaming the whole thing for everybody while he was doing it. He thought it was important, and there you go. That is what I have in the Bizarre File for you. New Word of the Week prize. It is a Monday. We have a Physique Round barbecue and fire pit kit to give away, and that is from our friends at Landis Block. So if you're interested in that, and who wouldn't be with this kind of weather, make sure you're with us at the end of the program to get the first letter of the day, and then you'll be in it for the week. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
You guys like my new Visco Girl water bottle?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. You got that.
Like the stickers.
What do you call these, Case?
It's a Hydro Flask.
Hydro Flask. That's
yeah. I like. Well, I'm a little bummed that I'm not going to be able to watch you spill water on yourself every single time you drank out of your other thermos.
Not anymore.
Did you put those stickers on there, or they got it made?
Okay. She bought me a bunch of stickers. Oh, okay, Rochelle did this for our anniversary, so she got me this. Because she has one, and I was admiring it. I'm like, that's really cool. So she got me one, then she bought me all these stickers. So I've got the Beatles, U2, Jimi Hendrix, the Police. There wasn't a Rush sticker.
What?
Yeah, it didn't come, the pack. I guess she bought a pack of Rock stickers. And so I saved a big spot right here for Rush. I have to eventually find a Rush sticker.
Is there a Rush sticker in your Rock stickers package? No, sir. I'm sorry. We do have a Rush-only package.
By the way, Rush released a video, I think it was on Friday, for Spirit of Radio. Steve, it is so cool. It's animated.
Yeah.
And in the video, they feature a lot of radio personalities that were integral in getting them started as a band.
Oh, that's cool.
DJs, and they check them by name and everything, showing them in the studio. It's a really cool tribute, number one, to the band and that song, but to radio. As a business and what it means to music. And I thought that was really a cool thing for them to do. And it's
the 40th. Well, this is in tandem to that
the box
report.
Set. Yeah, yeah. The 40th anniversary of Permanent Ways, the album. So, but they did this really cool thing, and I think we should have it on WMMR.com, the video, if you haven't
nice.
Seen it yet.
There's another cool video that was, I believe it was released on Friday, of he's a drummer. His name's Preston Elliott, and he released it. Did you release that on Friday?
I did.
It dropped, as they say in the vernacular.
It dropped Separate Ways? Friday. I did a cover of Journey's Separate Ways, and I've decided that... So doing these drum play-along videos, they call them drum covers, is kind of just a fun thing I'm doing on the side just for my own entertainment.
It keeps you from going stark raving mad.
Yeah, and I'm really having fun. And this one, I decided to do something rather than just a video of me playing drums. I have a little moment, and the more of these I make... And the better I'm getting at editing with iMovie, I'm going to add things besides just me playing drums.
I'll tell you what, it was a great surprise, and I loved it.
You did?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Thank you. So, that's up now. And if you wouldn't mind, I'm kind of becoming a YouTuber, man.
Are you?
That's what I'm doing. Yeah. So subscribe to my YouTube page, which is it's just Preston Elliott, and you can do a search on Preston Elliott, 1T and Elliott. And subscribe to my YouTube page. I'm going to put out a new video like every 2 weeks if you want to check that out.
It's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah. Listen,
I'm having a great time. And I'm enjoying the video editing. I'm constantly calling Nick Murphy for tips and things like that and shortcuts and stuff. And he's giving me some ideas. But I'm doing all the editing myself. And none of my family helps me at all. I'm all alone.
Where is this? Where are you recording this?
This is my basement.
Your basement. Okay. Yeah. It looks cool down there.
I painted the walls and hung up curtains and made a little studio and got lights.
Yeah, I like your setup there. You did a nice job with it.
Thank you very much.
Preston is probably the most talented of all of us, right?
No.
And you are. Musically. Is anybody in this room, and Marissa as well, is anybody here as good at something as Preston is on drums?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah? What?
Have you seen me shop?
I've never actually witnessed it, so.
Yeah. I don't know everyone's hidden talents.
Yeah. I don't know. That's something to look into. But anyhow, listen, if you want to, and you can go to PrestonSteve.com, and there's a link to subscribe to my YouTube page if you would like to do that. Nick, you had the big climb over the weekend. You wanted to mention
thank you.
The results from that.
We did really well. I just want to thank everybody that participated and give a special shout out to Bob Havens. Bob is a great guy, a loyal listener of the Preston and Steve Show on MMR. And Bob made these tags, these like dog tags. He's done them 2 years in a row, and it's just Team Luke. And he sends them to me and my entire family. So thank you so much to Bob. And then I want to give some props to my brother Josh, who, unbeknownst to everybody in the family, took it upon himself to climb a 14,000 foot mountain in Colorado as a part of his virtual Big Climb Philly. My mom was thrilled that he went out and did that by himself without anybody. But kudos to Josh, because he was the individual that raised the most amount of money for LLS and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So Josh knocked it out of the park this year. And my girlfriend and I climbed Mount Misery in Valley Forge, which was a lot of fun. So people were able to do this virtual climb sort of wherever they wanted, however they wanted. But Team Luke, Team Beasley did really well. And so thank you to everybody who was able to participate. We'll do it again next year. And, like all these charities that have sort of had to take a bit of a hiatus, we'll come back bigger and better and stronger next year.
Nice. As things are opening up, I got this email from this guy that stays in contact with me, Jack Willard, over at the Battleship New Jersey. They're opening up today.
Oh, that's awesome.
For tours. You can do limited self-guided tours of the exterior decks of the ship, so
can't go internal yet?
Not yet,
yeah.
But they'll eventually get there, but it's nice out, so if you were looking for something to do outside...
It's beautiful.
It's a really cool thing to do. And also, I saw this, that Atlantic City on Friday lifted the ban on drinking alcohol on the boardwalk.
Yes, you're allowed to. I saw that.
Yeah, so you can do that, and they started that on Friday, so they're looking to increase business and tourism... And
happiness.
The casinos are closed. Restaurants are not allowed to offer indoor dining, but you can now drink on the boardwalk. I'd never tried to drink on the boardwalk, so I didn't know you couldn't drink on the boardwalk. But it makes sense, I guess. But yeah,
What's the ETA on the casinos? Do they give any suggestion?
I haven't read anything yet. Kathy, do you know anything?
No, not certainly not in this new phase that they're entering today, the phase two. I do know that they are working very closely with health officials on how exactly they can open it up, because you figure such a huge space, common space, lots of people not only staying there, but also, playing on all the machines. So everything that I read is they're working closely with health officials.
By the way, with the drinking on the boardwalk, drinks had to have been bought at a licensed establishment and be in cups with the name or logo of that place. and cannot be larger than 16 ounces. So you can't bring your own booze out onto the boardwalk.
Well, you can't bring your Visco Girl thing there?
I could. I just can't have booze in it.
Oh, damn it.
You know?
I was down the shore this weekend. I was on the beach for a little bit. And listen, there are definitely people on the beach. And from what I...
Rocking out, rocking and rolling
and whatnot. What I noticed was that people were definitely keeping their distance and not sitting right on top of each other.
I see. That, to me, that's a standard.
Yeah.
I hate being bunched in. To me, it would be no different than whenever I go to the beach. I don't like being on top of people.
I kind of thought the exact same thing when they were talking about the beach. And I'm like, I wouldn't sit that closely next to anybody anyway.
I hate that.
Now, granted, I was in Wildwood Crest, and the beach is gigantic there. And some of the beaches are a little bit more shallow. Like Ocean City is definitely not as wide of a beach.
Right.
But I saw other pictures. And here's the deal. When you take a picture at ground level looking down the beach, it's going to look absolutely mobbed, as if people are all on top of each other.
But you were walking around, you saw spacing.
There's spacing, but like if I were,
did you bring a caliper with you to make sure?
I did not, man. I left it at home. But if I were to take a picture, you know,
five and a half feet. Yeah.
Looking, it would look like people were sitting on.
No,
on
you're
top
exactly
of each
right.
Other.
A lot of times you'll see it's deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
No, you're right. So, they're working on that. And, in fact, Nick just pulled the story up. Yeah, the goal is to get Atlantic City casinos open by 4th of July weekend.
So
if at all possible.
There was a story about a company that was working extensively with casinos around the country, Preston, redesigning. I told you about it. The blackjack table where right. There's actual, you know, a plexiglass barriers between you and the person sitting next to you. And it's all designed. Listen, they want that money coming in, and they're going to do anything they can to make sure they follow the guidelines and get the people in there.
I don't know if this video was real or not, but it looked real. Did you guys see the video of the guy at the slot machine smoking a cigarette?
Yes.
The cigarette was inside his mask.
It was impressive.
Did you see this?
No.
Oh, if you
inside
can find
his mask.
Yeah.
How big is his mask?
It's just a standard mask.
How are you doing that?
So I guess he had the cigarette popping out the side of his mask.
Chasey, I saw it on Rex Chapman's Twitter feed?
Yeah.
And Rex, it's great content. And so, but the caption was just something like, America is back, baby. Yeah. This guy had it inside the mask.
We'll find it. Well, it's like, dude,
okay, so, yeah, he's, yeah, that's how he's doing it, Case.
Yeah.
It's sticking out the side. He's still keeping his mouth covered.
Oh, my God.
Oh, except for when he exhales, he pulls down the mask, which that kind of defeats the entire purpose.
Oh, come
it's
on.
Kind of dumb. Yeah, though you can, and I told you, they have the masks now that have a little Velcro strip in the front. You pull it back, you could put a straw through.
Yeah.
And you could ostensibly put a lit cigarette in there.
This guy also has three drinks in front of him at the slot machine.
And it's odd because he's clearly some sort of athlete.
You know what's weirder than seeing a guy smoke through a mask like that is smoking inside.
Yeah.
Just looking at a video of somebody smoking inside is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of where else you can smoke inside. Like,
besides casinos?
That's the only place
strip
I
clubs,
know.
Right?
Strip clubs.
Yeah.
Can you smoke inside strip clubs still? Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, so, anyhow, people.
Well, the places where people go to work out.
That's right.
When are they going to reopen? I mean, not that I'm jonesing strip to get clubs? To a strip club, but I'm curious because,
my name is Nicholas. I'm curious as to when you're going to open up and who your first celebrity strippers will be.
They're like, is that you again, Nick?
No, it's not me. I'm not Nick McElwain. No.
You checking in again?
We never said a last
name. No. My name is Casey McElwain.
I mean, Nick Foster.
I mean, Preston Romano.
I hadn't even thought about strip clubs.
It's got, there's a lot of up and close business going on at a strip club, depending on the service you're paying for.
They will find a way. And some of the clubs were doing drive-through. You saw this.
Yeah.
They were driving through from your car, put the money out there. And it was just,
Some were doing food delivery, too.
They were.
Well,
if they had an outside courtyard, would they be able to do it there?
Yes.
Okay.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
If they can do outdoor dining that way.
That's a good question.
And most strip clubs have lavish and beautiful courtyards with running fountains and koi ponds and the whole thing. It's always incredibly immaculate.
Well, there are
the topiary is just breathtaking.
There are some clubs around here that actually have decent parking. Clever Sky, unfortunately, does not have the
They have a ton of parking though. They have a full lot across the street.
Yeah, Bristol. Across. Okay, across. But
they could send the strippers over there.
Bristol has a parking lot that they could maybe use.
You know, it's interesting, Casey. I think I don't know if anybody else watched it, but the Dave Chappelle special, the comedy special that dropped last week on Netflix,
right?
It was outside, you know, and so he did a comedy show, and people were socially distancing and had masks on and whatever, but you couldn't really hear the audio of the people laughing at his jokes because of how it was set up.
And a lot were still wearing masks.
And so it was interesting. I mean, it was still Chappelle, so it was still great, although it wasn't necessarily very funny. It was a lot of social commentary. But, I wonder if there will be more and more outdoor comedy specials, you know, because that's a place you can do it. Where
for the time being, like we talked to, who did we talk to last week? Florentine. Talked about doing the drive-in thing, and then there's just a weird reaction, and when they would laugh, they would acknowledge their enjoyment of the joke by honking their horns.
Yep. Speaking of cars and the pandemic and the residual effects of this, Hertz is going to be selling thousands of used cars at discount prices from its fleet of some 700,000 vehicles.
Whoa. Did Hertz declare bankruptcy?
They filed Chapter 11 on May 22nd, and delivery is free within 75 miles. They lost all revenue when travel shut down in mid-March, and it cut 12,000 workers.
Would you buy
another 4,000 on furlough?
I would. If you're in the market, would you buy a car from Hertz like that?
Probably if, in fact, one of my first cars was from a used car dealership. All right, not a used car dealership, a rental car dealership.
Okay.
Oh. It's because you can get them cheap.
Yeah.
And the only concern is they've been driven home.
Wear and tear. Yeah. Because we all know how we drive rental cars.
Totally.
Well, how can you get to said cars that are for sale?
I don't know. You'll have to get in touch with Hertz and get the details. I don't have any.
The password is swordfish.
But that is that's a good opportunity for those who might be looking for a car and are, you know, just maybe a lower price for a decent model.
What's the status of the Wells Fargo? The lot was being used for excess rental cars. Do we know? Is that going to be turned into a used car lot at this point?
I don't know.
They were still there at least 2 weeks ago, I think it was.
Were they?
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay.
I'm curious.
So I was wondering about cars that not necessarily appreciate with value, but like a Jeep, for instance. Jeeps retain their value, you know, for a long time. So I was wondering if, you know, maybe if you were in the market for a Jeep, Wrangler, that is, if, you know, maybe getting
if
one.
If you're
from
nasty.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, usually when I go to rent a car, Jeep is an option for most companies. So they probably do have some for sale.
I was looking into renting an RV for the summer and still looking into it, actually. And
has that been productive?
Yeah, there are some places have shut down for rentals for the summer.
Right.
And
the business has been really good, I know.
Yeah, but it's up and down. But a lot of people were suggesting that if I had the means, which I don't, but that you buy it.
Yeah.
Because the resale market on RVs right now is really hot, so you could buy it and then use it all summer and then resell it at the end of the summer and maybe even make a profit.
I'm sure, you're only talking two or three straight weeks of work.
Yeah, and I don't have that much money to just drop the possibility of being able to sell it at the end of the summer, but it's an interesting prospect.
Wow. What do they go for? What does a decent RV go for?
If you want to get a new one, nice new one, you're going to spend at least 50 or 60, but like you can get a good used one for the 10 to 20 range.
A number of texts that are coming in similar to this one that says buying a rental car is like marrying the town whore. Everyone has gotten to drive it.
But it's broken in. You have to remember that, too.
Knows how to treat you right.
Absolutely.
You know?
Knows the tricks.
Yeah. But another effect of the pandemic, and it does have to do with transportation as well, is that bike sales have gone way up.
Yeah.
In fact,
huge.
Not that long ago, just a week or two ago, our bicycle pump had broken, so I needed to go get a new one. Went into Walmart because it was one of the few places that was open. All of the bikes, and they've got big bike racks there, all of them.
All gone.
Every single one of them gone. No pumps, nothing. No All kidding. That stuff was just completely sold out.
You know, I think the ride share, the bike share company in the city is doubling, I think, the amount of bikes.
Wow.
No kidding. Yeah, I think because that's become, that's a thing. You guys have bikes, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do. I actually need a bike shop because Jace's brakes don't work on his bike, so I need to go.
He doesn't need those.
I know, yeah. Right?
Neighborhood Bike Works, Kathy. You actually had a news story about them. Yeah, yeah. You had a news story about them. They're a great place. They do work in West Philly. They really support the community. It's a good charity organization. And Neighborhood Bike Works, they're right off of Route 30, Lancaster Avenue in West Philly.
Okay. I can do it as well, Kath.
Or Casey.
You need the brakes tightened.
I took it to a bike shop, and the guy was like, he tested it out, and he's like, I couldn't figure it out. He played around with the brake and the brake pads and all this, and he was like, yeah. He was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you.
If we can't fix your bike, then, what the hell?
Meaning I can't fix it, or they work fine? And
no, he couldn't fix it. He didn't know. And I was like, well, do you think maybe we need new brake pads? Or, like, it's a new bike, so it came this way.
I tell you what, Missy, you should probably take this to a bicycle repair place. Yeah. That's what you are. Oh, yeah.
Steve, I stood there, and I didn't move, and I just looked at him, and he was like, let me try one more thing. And they tried it. He was like, yeah. He's like, sorry, I don't know. And I'm like, so I said, well, do you have brake pads? And he's like, no. I was like, I'm going to try somewhere else.
Yes, yeah. And he didn't recommend.
I'm going to try another bike shop that might have brake pads.
What kind of an answer is that? He didn't recommend, like, even saying, nothing. Look, you need a new bike. This thing's, you can't fix it. He didn't. He just was like, I don't know.
Preston, I think I bothered his lunch.
Oh, dude. Okay.
And he was not. He literally, I'm not kidding you. He went, yeah, I don't know.
You know, Nick was telling the story last week. He got amazing customer service at Best Buy in Plymouth Meeting. Yeah. We were talking about it. What was the woman's name?
Lala.
Lala said she was even called the management to tell them what a great job she was. I had the opposite. I like Kathy. I called for a certain product repair. I called a place that was nearby my house. You would have thought that I just ruined this guy's day by asking if they were open.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm not going there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go.
I guess it's times are great and you don't need the business.
Right.
Come on.
All right. So, Kath, the problem with the... So, do you have Callahan brake pads, first of all?
Oh, shut up.
No.
They're really cool.
Like, they're really awesome. Like, you know, suppose you're riding along. Is the brake pad... Are they rubbing against the wheel? Is it not capturing the wheel?
Like, yes.
What is
it's
the actual
not
problem?
Capturing the wheel?
It's moving. Like, it looks as though it would capture the wheel, and it is touching the wheel, but I guess...
It doesn't have enough pressure?
I guess. I don't know. But like I said, this is like a new bike. He got the bike in October, but hasn't ridden it because now he's just big enough to ride it. So,
right.
Case, I have no idea. I don't know anything about this. That's why I took it to the bike shop.
Who said, get it fixed!
Who said, yeah, I don't know.
Case is your bike dude. He rode 31 miles this weekend.
I did.
31 on one ride.
On one ride. Yep, he's in my hiney hurts.
One fish concert.
Marissa?
Well, just to counteract Kathy, I have to thank the guy at Frankenstein Bike Works because I brought my bike. Seriously?
Brake pad. Car. Does it capture wheel?
You're not going to get through this story. You know that, right?
I did it on purpose.
Go to Wolfman. So how did they help you out?
I had popped my front tire off so I could fit it in my car. And when I put it on, I could not get my front brakes reattached. Uh-huh. And so I just walked it over to his bike shop. He was the only bike shop open in the city near me. And the guy was helping out another guy, like, doing tires and all sorts of stuff that, like, scares the crap out of me with bikes. And I was like, I can't attach these. And he kind of looked over. He's like, all right, I'll be with you in a second. And I was standing there, and he was still working on it. And he just comes over, and he, like, fixes, attaches it in, like, 2 seconds. He's like, have a good day.
Welcome to the
He rips the frame in half with his bare hands.
Brake pad.
So bikes are flying off the shelves right now.
And you know what else is? Scattergories. You can't find it freaking anywhere.
Categories.
Yes. You got to Target like so many times. And like at one point, they even took the Scattergories label off of the shelf. They're like, dude.
Because this idiot keeps coming in and asking for it. And he's like, I don't know what the hell the story is with this guy. Order he's got it. Spray painted feet.
Order it.
You can't.
What do you mean you can't?
You can't. It's out of stock.
Sold out everywhere?
Yes.
Okay, Amazon?
Unless you want to spend like $50 on it.
Uh-huh. Right, they inflated the
price. Unless you want to work 40 hours. If you want the game enough, get it.
I put it in the beginning of the quarantine. I put it in my cart and on Amazon. And my wife is like, nope. And took it out of the car because it was like $44 on Amazon.
This is where you got to lay down the law. You got to say, woman, I needs my categories.
There was an anniversary edition for $78, Casey. I just saw it on there if you want.
That seems worth it.
Winning Moves Scattergories 30th Anniversary Edition, $78.99.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
For a board game.
Mm-hmm. Hang on. I'm going to go back to the rental car thing because Eddie... was an employee at Hertz, and it says, can answer your used car questions, your used rental car questions. Hey, Eddie. How you doing, Eddie?
Hey, good morning. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. So what, should people ever buy a used rental car?
Well, I'll start with this. I was an employee for a couple of years. I won't give out the location, but I was in their sales department, so I was selling the used cars to the public. Overall, they are good cars based on the manufacturer that you get them from. Just like anywhere else, certain manufacturers are going to be better than other ones, and they're going to hold up better to that, like you said earlier, the wear and tear and the beating one that some of them do get. The biggest thing I want to, you know, warn people is that when I was working there, at least, Hertz was a self-insured company. So if you would get into a fender bender or an accident in that vehicle and the police were not called, Hertz would take that vehicle back, fix it itself, and would not show up on any auto check or any any kind of repair thing. So when you're looking at the car, it'll look brand new and used. But when you look at it internally, you realize that car has been hit, that car has been rear-ended, that car has been hit on the side, and they fixed it.
Eddie, would that be the same for other companies as well, or is Hertz the anomaly?
Well, no. Well, because Hertz being self-insured, when you get a Hertz rental car and you buy the insurance and stuff from them, you're not going through your own insurance company, which right. you're required to, by law, to report any accidents.
Right, but what Steve Hertz. Is asking, do other rental companies do the same thing?
I'm not positive. I can't speak on either Enterprise or Avis on that, but I know just, you know, Hertz itself, they don't technically have to tell you that it was an accident because they don't report it.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm no longer working for them. They also did some shady things during the pandemic, trying to get us back in before waivers were allowed in PA, trying to sneak us in to sell cars and whatnot.
Well, let me ask you a quick question on the sales. Is there like a 50-point inspection or something that they're by law required to pass, or how do they make the cars sellable if they've been through all this wear and tear?
They do perform a checkpoint, a check inspection. Now,
yeah, that's a car.
That is that they do put, you know, it is performed by Pep Boys, which is also owned by the same company who owned Hertz.
All right.
So if that gives you any kind of idea of, and right now, since they're trying to get them off the shelves to liquidate, I'd be a little nervous in return, you know, in regards to how quickly they're performing these checklists.
All right. Just a word of advice.
Thanks, Eddie. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Eddie's opinion, so... but Frankenstein, maybe he moved over to the bike shop now. He used to work at Hertz.
What gonna take to put you in car?
Yes.
Let Frankenstein talk manager.
Frankenstein, used car salesman. Wow.
I throw in undercoating.
Yeah. One last thing that does have to do, we were kind of in Corona Corner. I didn't realize Corona activities, actually. So,
Corona activities.
COVID-19. Wow. I miss him.
I do too.
We need a new video
yeah, of
maybe
him.
He can fart the virus away.
Talking about anything. It can be planes or COVID-19. Chuck E. Cheese has been closed for months and now locations may never reopen. On Friday, the brand behind the chain, CEC Entertainment, announced it's nearly $1 billion in debt.
God almighty.
And is attempting to get a loan to keep the business afloat.
Those places are still popular, and there's a lot of jobs I'd hate to see them go away.
It's an easy go-to for little kids.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if you want to fight your neighbors at a birthday party, this is the best way to do it.
We talked about it a while back. The one in Oaks, remember, it had changed its name for online deliveries to like Luigi's or something like that.
Right.
Or I forgot what the name was.
So people were buying pizza not realizing it was coming from Chuck E. Cheese.
And the pizza's not bad at Chuck E.
Cheese. It is not bad at all.
I like it. But there are better places, I think, for kids' birthday parties than Chuck E. Cheese. There was like a place.
Ralph E. Rat.
Now, there's a place called Oasis that I think is
strip club?
I haven't been there in a long time. No. That was a strip club, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Still is. I think
is that where they're totally naked?
No.
Daydreams.
That's Daydreams and Show and Tell.
Right. It's a children's place. You can't be showing them the hash.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
have a sense of decorum.
They also have, like trampoline places and stuff.
Yeah, we got trampolines, too.
Yeah. But I think Chuck E. Cheese is pretty inexpensive. And
we did two birthday parties in a row there for Ben, like 7 and 8 or whatever. Yeah, back-to-back birthday parties, two years in a row.
Because that's what he wanted.
Yeah, that's exactly what he wanted, and it made him happy. It was the one in Berwyn. And, it sucks that they're closing it, but, like, maybe they could close temporarily and then reorganize and come back.
A lot of times that's what the process is about. It's about when they declare bankruptcy, they're trying to hold on to the business, right?
What does that place in Berwyn have to do? Like, they have the video games. What other activities do they have?
Well, you can get into to that spinny golden ticket thing.
Right, and that's for the birthday boy.
Right, yeah, and you win at least 1,000 tickets to buy some crap. I don't know, just a ton of video games, the basketball, the Papa Shot.
Yeah,
ticket games.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing extraordinary.
That's what I'm saying, and this isn't like a knock on your son's birthday party and like that, but I was just like, there are other places.
Why
that,
2 years in a row?
Well, he wanted that. He wanted ticket terribly bad. Like, I remember. And listen, I know why he went there. He wanted to go to that booth.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't care about anything else except for that booth. He wanted to go to that booth, and he wanted to win the golden ticket.
Yeah.
Finally did it, and he never went back.
That's right, yeah. He accomplished his goal. He turned 8. He got the golden ticket, and he walked away.
And it was like the natural. It was like a Saturday morning.
Yes. We had to rent it from like 10 a.m. to noon or something
and
like that.
And you texted me. You're like, this is awful.
When I was a kid, the big birthday thing to have your party was a pizza place. It was called Shakey's.
Shakey's, yes.
And the big deal was the birthday kid got to make their own pizza.
No.
Wow. Yeah, you got to go behind the counter, and everybody would gather around and watch as you spoon the sauce out there. And did it. And it was a big deal. Frankenstein would make
pizza.
It was a big deal.
More pizza.
For you to get to make your own pizza at the pizza shop.
Shakey's. God. Yeah. Remember that?
Yep. So we didn't have any animatronic things.
No.
Games or none of that stuff.
We had Celebration Station, which, ironically now is a Chuck E. Cheese. But that thing had it had a fun house to crawl through, and it had a ball pit, in addition to those video games. And then there was another place called Circus Town, and that fun house was insanely fun to play in. Like, I mean, actually, looking back, I'm a little bit dangerous. because they had little nooks and crannies that nobody could get to.
You're
going to
jump into
kids.
The broken glass pit? Yeah, I know. Some of them are dangerous, but I mean.
And Oasis, this place I'm talking about, they have this insane jungle gym thing that you go through, and then they have these Nerf powered ball guns, like cannons. You can fire on each other.
That's cool.
Yeah, I want to go.
I want to go.
It sounds like so much fun.
They had those cannons at a place called Giggleberry Farm, which is out in kind of near New Hope.
That Giggleberry?
Giggleberry Farm. Yeah,
that's just a fun sounding name.
And it was this big area.
Yeah, Giggleberry Farm. What do you want? Yeah, we giggle all day long, all day night. Giggle till the break of light, whatever. Come on.
Welcome to Giggle Bowl.
Yeah, I'm giggling right now. What do you want? No. Yeah, Giggleberry Farm. What do you want? No, you're looking for Chuckle City. No, that's Titter Tavern.
Giggleberry Farm.
Giggleberry Farm, what do you want?
Giggle all day, we giggle all night.
Yeah, Giggleberry Farm. What do you want? We're giggling right now. Yeah. Listen, I'm having lunch. What do you want? Can I guarantee you'll giggle? No, I can guarantee I'm going to put my foot up your ass.
But they had the guns that would shoot those balls.
Yes. And yeah, we just have real guns.
And even as an adult, I took my kids there. I'm like, I'm going to get on this thing, this machine gun thing, and shoot for a while.
I tell you what, though, well, you know, when you have access to a real theme park with the theme parks opening up, when is Six Flags scheduled?
Know. I mean, it's probably the same timetable as the casinos.
I don't know, but I did see this other thing that has to do with Florida and, you know, the Orlando theme parks opening back up. Of course, Universal opened up. Yes, Disney opened up as well. But there's something interesting. If you are coming in from New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut, there's a mandated 14-day self-quarantine.
We call it giggle prison.
Yeah.
Wait, so hold on. You quarantine before you go to Disney?
You're coming in from hot spots.
If you come in, you have to quarantine yourself in the state for 14 days before
in Florida?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You basically have to go for 3 weeks, two to quarantine, one to enjoy it.
All persons isolating or quarantining will be responsible for all costs associated with their isolation or quarantine. This includes transportation, lodging, food, medical care, and other expenses to sustain the individual.
They're basically saying if you live in these states, you can't come here.
One thing I wonder, though, what if you are tested once you get there? Do they have any sort of caveat for a test just prior to going into the park?
I don't think so.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, there's always Giggle Farm.
Giggleberry Farm?
Giggleberry Farm.
Those who fail to participate in the mandatory quarantine may face $500 or $60, 60 days in jail.
Your question is there actually a Giggleberry? F you!
How long the quarantine policy will remain in effect is unclear, despite more and more attractions in the state reopening to tourism. So we'll have to wait and see.
What outside of Universal and SeaWorld and Disney World is what are the other?
They have smaller but still pretty cool things in Orlando outside of that.
I saw a few as we were driving around.
Yeah, you can see the attractions off in the distance.
Like big coasters and stuff.
Yeah, there's one in particular that has all of those like slingshot type things.
Yeah, yeah.
And they advertise it's way less expensive and still a lot of thrill rides. And there's also a lot of smaller, not nearly on the level of full-on theme parks, but still smaller entertainment
amusement parks
for you to go to.
Right.
They're all over the freaking place in Orlando.
Well, in Orlando, there's the Busch Gardens in Tampa, right?
Yep.
I love Busch Gardens.
Tampa. Yeah. But there, we went to, I mean, they even have things like, Steve, there was a like a pirate almost medieval times, but pirate themed.
Right, right.
We took our family and went to that. So you can just find stuff. There may be a Giggleberry Farm there. I don't know. I have no idea. We're looking at, is that Giggleberry Farm? Giggleberry Fair.
It's the fair.
Giggleberry Fair.
They are not open.
No, you're looking for Giggleberry Fair. This is Giggleberry Farm.
Leave us alone.
Dumbass.
Hershey Park is opening on July 3rd, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. They just announced it. Do you want to go?
I may want to go, yes.
What's the, half capacity,
Hershey.
Right?
I don't know. So,
only people under 5 feet tall?
I mean, there's something. I didn't read all of the details. All right. Just got the email that they were opening.
I want to be Hershey Park happy.
Right now you're Hershey Park sad.
I'm Hershey Park sad.
No Hershey Park sad. And it's only semi-sweet now.
Yeah, yeah. No Hershey Park sad, bro.
I'm wearing my no sad bro shirt.
I saw that. You it looks are. Great on you, by the way.
Thank you.
Let me see here. Kevin wants to mention something. Let me go to him. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
You guys rock.
Thanks, bud. What's up?
Hey, people from South Jersey probably remember it. There years ago, there was a place called Totally Tubular.
And Totally Tubular?
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
What is it? What was it?
It was basically, not a Chuck E. Cheese, but, you know, you could go there, have your birthday party and everything, and it was all the tubes and, you know, the ball pits and everything else.
It was like a habit trail for kids?
Exactly.
Perfect.
And
with the Frank Zappa theme.
Oh, and it's so fun to try to get your daughter to come out of it.
Oh.
My daughter was short enough that it was time to come out, and I'm like, it's time to come out. And she basically bent a little bit and ran through the tubes.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So you have a large guy crawling through the tubes for about a half an hour, soaked with sweat, trying to grab your daughter, and she's just laughing because she thinks it's a big game.
Kevin, I when my kids were little, I remember the same thing. Those habit trail type play. Even like McDonald's and some places will have those. And it's time to go, and they don't get it. God damn it, I got to go up. All right. I got to take my shoes off, and I got to go up in there.
In 10 seconds, we're flooding Totally Tubular with nerve gas.
Yes.
Totally Tubular will be flooded with nerve gas.
Yeah, that's what you hope for.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
The Fanatic Fun Zone at the ballpark is notorious for kids going in there. And I remember Ben went in probably like 5 or 6 years old, and he was wearing a Chase Utley shirt.
Oh,
and
nobody
there are no other kids wearing a Chase Utley shirt. And he went in, and it was just like, all right, well, maybe I'll see my kid again. Maybe I never will see him again.
And you don't get to see any of the game.
No. Cut to like 8 years later, a kid comes sliding out with a mustache
and a full beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where am I?
The water park in the bay in Ocean City is called Totally Tubular.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that what you have a picture of here, Nick?
I think so. Yeah. It looks pretty cool.
I've seen that before.
Yeah. We did that last year.
Okay.
It is pretty cool.
All right.
It looks like the place in Stone Harbor.
Yep. Yeah.
So
it's next to Chuckle Choo Choo.
Here, Marissa got the information on Hershey Park. It opens on July 3rd. Season pass holders will be allowed exclusively into the park on July 1st and 2nd.
Uh-huh.
Wow, that's good.
Pretty cool little perk.
That is good, yeah.
Next to empty, and you can get on the rides real quick. And it says Candemonium will make its debut when the park reopens. The coaster is the park's tallest, fastest, longest, and sweetest coaster at Hershey Park. Really? They're tallest, fastest, and longest? So that's, they must have been working.
Yeah.
While they were closed.
Candemonium, you said?
Yeah, it says.
So what is it?
It says the hypercoaster reaches 210 feet tall and travels at a maximum speed of 76 miles per hour.
Wow.
The track is 4,636 feet and boasts the most airtime of any coaster at Hershey Park.
Yeah, well, you know, Hershey did like a whole expansion that was supposed to reopen in the spring.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't happen.
Mm. No, it didn't.
Why not? Okay, so we're looking at a rendering of it.
Candemonium?
Yeah. Candemonium. That I thought it was like as in can. What are you sitting like a...
No, Candemonium.
Okay.
So Skyrush was the one. That was the last one that opened up. Remember, we were broadcasting right at the base of that.
That was awesome.
I wonder if that is still open or if they repurposed it to be this. It is still open?
Yep.
That's a good roller coaster.
It is.
Yeah.
That
okay.
All
right, we're looking at a rendering of the ride here. I always love these things. So how it's the tallest?
Tallest and fastest and longest at the park.
How long? How long?
4,636 feet.
Miles.
So not quite a mile.
Throwing up at the end of it.
But still. 76 miles an hour. All right, cool. Nice.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, so that opens.
Candemonium.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Giggleberry Farm, right?
Knoebel's just never closed. They're just like, yeah, screw it. We're staying open the whole time.
Knoebel,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Knoebel's. All right.
There's a pandemic?
We need to take a break. So here you go.
Candemonium.
It's your favorite. We are going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. So make sure that you stay close, my friends.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Earlier this morning, in the entertainment report, was talking about Kelly Clarkson, and she and her hubby are splitting up. They're going to divorce.
Yeah.
And then Steve made an observation that, well, they're going to have to decide who gets the friends.
Right.
How they're going to divide that up. And then Casey started thinking out loud of... how the majority of people would go to his wife and not him. He said, you came up with two people, Mike and Jeff.
I think Jeff and Mike would be the only friends that I would get.
That you would get in the split if that were to happen.
Yeah. Wow. And it's a little sobering when you stop and think about it. You figured, you kind of took a quick run at it as you were breaking it down, and you came up with just a couple yourself, right?
Yeah, I would say the majority of people would definitely go with Rochelle, and I'd lose. There's one or two that I'd hang on to.
Oh, man.
And they're people that she doesn't talk to much, so yeah.
Well, I think that we can all say that we would have to all stick. We'd all have each other's backs.
Yes, this group right here, us, we would all have to remain friends because the same thing would happen with you. You'd lose most of Bubba, right?
You couldn't pick the spouse. If you're sitting in this room, there's no way you could go with your coworker's spouse.
Right, we would agree with that. Yes.
I mean, so Claire has, there are a lot that would go with Claire. I would get Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike?
Yeah, though
I don't know if I'd get Dr. Mike or not. Well, he might go with Rochelle.
I mean, he's a BFF status right now, so I would have to say, but he loves Claire. It'd be tough, but I would have to forbid him from providing her any medical care.
You would have to put your foot down on that one. I would agree.
I mean, if it was an acrimonious divorce, but
by the way, who all here has been divorced? Show of hands, please. Oh, we have one.
It's weird when it happens because you make friends during the course of the marriage and, of course, people that you really care about. And then when the divorce happens, it's not that you don't care about them anymore. It's just like it's just sort of there's this separation. You're like, oh, that person's not in my life anymore. And it's an odd thing because
it's a natural migration, right?
And of course, like, the friend of the wife will defend the wife during, so you rely on your friends to help you get through your divorce.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty fortunate in that there's not a lot of acrimony. So I hope that those friends don't hate me now. But you never know. You never know what they're saying behind your back. But it's like losing a sibling, too, because, you know, my ex-wife has a sister, and that person was my life. She was my sister-in-law. She's no longer my sister-in-law, you know? So things like that happen that you don't really expect when you get divorced.
Yeah. I wonder, and maybe some divorced people may be able to chime in on this, if when this was happening, you knew that the friend, you know, going to split the friends thing, that it was, you know, eventual, it was inevitable. But I thought they were going to go with me.
Oh, yes. Sure.
I mean, come on. It was a given that, you know, Joe was going to be my bud, and he went the other way.
Can you call it? Can you be like, I got Preston?
Yeah, like dibs.
Well, I was wondering if that's an actual conversation that happens at some point where you're both sort of 50-50.
You don't even get to call it, though.
Yeah, I know, I'm saying, like,
the other people make the decision.
The decision.
Right,
there was a set. It was a college friend's. They went with her, and I was like, what? Are you serious? I knew you first.
So your college friends, a number of your college friends went with her.
Two, not a number. Let's get it. Two college friends, and they're married. They decided to stick with her instead of me.
Wow.
I was like, wow, that's
your college friends?
Yes.
And you guys didn't go to college together.
I know.
That had to have stung a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. But listen, she's a pretty great person, so I get it. You know, they decided to follow her. And I was like, all right, well, sometimes these happens. I don't think I got any of hers, though.
Nobody jumped to the Nick camp?
No one jumped.
Wow. Come on. Well, wow. I had a little bit of a relationship with Melissa after you guys got divorced, but you knew about it. Like, I would, anytime I talked to her, I saw her.
You guys all did.
I mean, you would know.
Yeah, that means, you know, our spouses and boyfriends and girlfriends and whatever, like, they become a part of the de facto family. So it's not like, you know, Steve, I could text Claire. I texted Rochelle over the weekend. It's one of those things where, like, you're still friends with those people. And when that goes away, you have to adapt. You know, the person left behind has to adapt.
And you said your friendship with Kathy was predicated on her giving you constant updates about her interactions with your ex, right?
Yeah. Yes. And that's why I text her husband currently.
I'm setting the seeds.
Yeah.
I assume it's a sobering thing.
Yes.
Oh, there's so
many. I assume it's a sobering thing when you, and also, but also the conundrum of being the person who's going to have to make the decision, because it's not even, you're not just saying, I now hate you. You're just simply saying, I'm not going to actively socialize with you, you know, because that's really how it morphs. I assume that's how it morphs.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it happens, in with less gravity in just friendships or when you're dating.
There's an entire episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where most of Larry's friends decide they're going to go with Cheryl. And so, like, Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen, they all go with Cheryl. And Super Dave, he goes with Cheryl. And it's one of these things where you're like, yeah, I kind of get it. Nobody really wants to hang out with Larry afterwards.
You know what, Steve? I also was thinking about whether or not, like, if you have a group of friends, whether that informs your decision where, like, you, all right, so suppose I wanted to go with Nick in the divorce. But everybody else is like, no, you're not allowed to. If you want to be friends with the rest of us, you have to, you know.
Yeah, you end up getting shunned by that group.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you also can start laying the groundwork early prior to you're thinking, okay, we're probably going to get split at some point, so I better start sucking up to the friend base now.
Number of texts coming in. I'm sorry to interrupt, Kathy. This one says, my parents got divorced, and I realized then my dad doesn't actually have any friends.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah.
See, that's sad.
So many times, though, it is the at least, and it's quite common where it's the wife who's really conducting the social interactions for the
planning
couple.
Planning and the calendar. And
right.
I think it has to do with who moves away.
Right.
You know, if somebody stays, say, in a neighborhood, then you're going to likely stay friends with those people. I had a friend of mine so they got divorced, and the ex-husband moved across the street from our other friend. And so she was, like, devastated because she, you know, you have your neighborhood friends.
Right,
and she was like, well, now you guys are going to be friends with him, and I'm not going to be able to come over. And they, you know, assured her, no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Did it happen?
No, what happened was the sale actually fell through, and he didn't move across the street. Oh. And she was like, it would have been good.
I understand he's a Nazi. I'm just saying. And who is this again? I am not going to say.
I didn't even think of that. She probably ruined the sale of the house.
You mentioned, Steve, that a lot of times the woman in the relationship, you know, it depends on how busy they are, if they're working full time or not, will end up handling the social calendar and therefore a lot of the contacts. And I swear, man, if I am surprised at this point that Rochelle hasn't just turned around and punched me in the face, if I have to say one more time, who are you talking about again? who is this? Whose house are we going over to? What are their kids' names? Okay, how do we know them? I mean,
she has to, like, prep you on the way over.
And not only that, multiple times.
It's
just terrible.
It's like The Devil Wears Prada. This is Senator Klavan and his.
Yeah, right.
Is there somebody saying he has two children and one goes to Stanford?
Uh-huh.
I got an email. Actually, somebody commented on an Instagram post of mine over the weekend, and he's going through a divorce right now. And his wife was his best friend, and he was sort of lamenting. He's like, "How do you get through it? What do you do?" And the honest to God's truth is, it's one day at a time. Like, you have to just do your best to keep your chin up and then get through one day and then get to the next. Because there are so many aspects of divorce that suck. And when you lean on a friend and then you lose that friend because you're going through the divorce, like, there are these ripple effects.
Nick, I can't listen to this anymore. I prefer your ex. Like, what?
Seriously. And they're like, oh, we can't have conversations anymore? I didn't know that was going to happen. But
I've been sending information to her.
Here's a text that says, my Facebook memories today are from Disney with my friends from 3 years ago. They stayed friends with the ex-wife. Haven't heard from them. Never hear from them anymore.
Yeah. And is it when you're in that situation, is it best to just cut it off because
Yes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, because there's no...
There's no happy medium.
If they want
you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
And if they want to reconnect with you, they will. And otherwise, you just got to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And Facebook memories for stuff like that suck.
Yeah,
when those things creep back up and you're like, that was a happy day with a person that's no longer in my life.
I love you so much.
What a shiny, happy-looking group of people.
Yeah.
You know?
Forever.
Forever. Oh my God, c'est la vie. But I guess it. You know, you. And I would imagine more often than not, it's just an unspoken language of we're not hanging out anymore. You know what I mean?
I would hate.
Nobody
to be
says, by the way, I won't be talking to you anymore. You know,
imagine being the recipient of a formal declaration. Nick, the reason we called you here today is to tell you our friendship will now be with your ex.
Yeah,
it has to suck for people who made a bulk of their friends together. Like, for instance, like high school or college sweethearts.
Yeah.
That, you know, for, you know, my wife and I, we didn't get together until, you know, 20 years ago. And at that point, I, you know, basically my friends then are my friends now. And so if you went through life getting all these friends together, then there really has to
That'll be tough. You're well, right.
Well, that's like Rochelle and I, this chapter, the biggest chapter of our lives has been here, but together. We came together.
Yeah. Our journey.
Mm-hmm. And we never, you know, those people that we were friends with are from a time and a place ago and away. And
dude,
so
you'd be
it
screwed.
All's right. I'd be screwed.
You'd be
Preston.
Screwed.
Hang on a second.
You're going to die alone.
You don't even know your friends' names. Preston. They're definitely not picking you.
Preston. I need to go to Giggle City.
Giggleberry Fair.
Giggleberry yes. Fair. I can't even get it right.
Who gets Will and Lori?
That's a hard one, man. I guess, yeah.
You get Will?
Maybe there would be a divorce there. You get Will and she gets Lori.
I would push for those two to get divorced so that we could hang on.
That happens, by the way.
No, that would hurt.
That does happen. It can be like a carcinogen in a if one member of a long-standing group, a collective of friends, gets divorced. It has happened. They will agitate for divorces in other couples in that group.
Yeah, the little
divorce
club.
It's a known phenomenon, yes.
Let me go to Steve. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, bud?
Hey, what's going on? I got divorced, 10 years ago. And I got most of her friends that she had even before me and a couple of her siblings.
How did that happen?
I'm just a great guy.
I'm just a great guy.
I've seen the sibling thing actually happen.
Wow. They side with the...
With the ex.
Yeah.
Because the sibling was such a douchebag in the relationship that they're like, you messed that up, man.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
You know what I mean?
Was that your case, Steve?
It wasn't my choice to get divorced. So it was, a lot of people thought it was a douche move.
Okay. Yeah.
That can happen. All right, thanks, Steve.
They all went with me. In fact, right. the two siblings said that they got me in the divorce.
All right.
Yeah.
You're a great guy. Thanks.
I'm just a great guy.
I know a few situations where that's happened, where family members of the spouse go with the, you know, who was soon going to be the ex.
Yeah. They it's...
And it often, in most cases, or at least the ones that I'm talking about, it has, you
somebody
know,
cheated.
Yeah, somebody did somebody wrong. So it was like, you know, they kind of had sympathy.
Yes, no, that's quite often the case.
I will go to Daniel. Daniel, good morning. Or is it Danielle?
Dan?
Hi, say that again. Your phone line was breaking up.
I'm sorry, his name's Gage.
Gage.
So close.
Wow. All right, Gabe, what's up, bud?
Hey, so first time caller. I started dating this girl 5 years ago. We got engaged, had three kids together. And me and her friends and her, we would always go out. We were all best friends. And every time we would go out bowling, dinner, or, you know, movies, I would always pay. Never asked me or anything. I always put it out. I'd offer. No problem.
All right.
Well, we broke up about a year ago. And all of our friends went to her, and they hate me now. And granted, me and my ex-fiance are best of friends right now. Like, we love each other almost.
But so you're good friends with your ex-fiance, but yet her friends hate you?
Oh. Yeah, that's
Gage,
exactly right.
Or Daniel?
Gage. What was that?
Gage. Say it again, Steve.
So you're friends with your ex, but yet her friends hate you.
Correct, and I don't know why, even though, you know, me and her are still best of friends.
Is there, how long ago did you guys break up?
It'd be a year about now, probably.
Still a chance you guys could gravitate back together?
We're actually talking about it now. We're in the works of it.
There you go.
Okay.
Take her to a nice bowling place and build it up from there.
All right. Thanks, Gabe.
There you go. Thank you.
Appreciate it. I don't know, man. That's something you got to work out with the friends, I guess.
My love for you is a perfect game.
Let me go.
I love you 300.
Yeah.
Let me go to Pete. Hey, Pete, good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Hey, thanks, Pete. What's up, buddy?
Rock and roll!
I might be the first person to cry on your show.
Aww.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, buddy.
Kind enough to email me yesterday with some good information, and I'm technically not divorced. But my wife moved out on March 9th. Just a very, like, set of unfortunate circumstances. Lost my job. Unemployment ran out. Her one and only friend, we're all animal lovers. We, at the time, had 8 cats. So she just up and left. The whole, you know, not having any money coming in. I tended to self-medicate at times when it was stressful with alcohol. But needless to say, she left me. 2 cats have since died that were completely healthy. Died of a broken heart. And her one and only best friend has completely turned her back on her and communicates with me.
Wow. So you've been given a lion's share of stuff to deal with. Do you feel you're on a better path now? Do you find comfort in having this friend? I assume you would, right? Someone to talk to.
She's mad at the both of us because of the situation. She said she was filing for divorce. It's been since March, but we're separated. I can't talk to her because she felt if she gets a temporary restraining order, I can't call her, I can't text her. So she's mad at the both of us, but really mad at her because, you know, I've been relying on donations to feed these cats. And
well, besides the cats, which is an issue, so you said a restraining order. Were there other things at work here in play? Was there a physical issue?
No, she said that I could tend to be aggressive at times, but when she turned around and looked at me and said she was leaving, all I wanted to do was give her a hug and talk about it, and the next thing you know, she's out the door.
Okay.
But just 2 weeks ago, I spent 8 days in the hospital for basically anxiety and, you know, having a nervous breakdown, and she did reach out and call me like 4 times, but... She's just mad.
Yeah, Pete, if it's possible, if you could talk to somebody who's also like, you know, I don't know if you have the resource, but someone who is a therapist or someone, you know, to get someone, a third party to talk to can really make a world of difference.
Also, Pete, what kind of work are you in?
I worked for a municipal government in New Jersey for 20 years in recreation. And I got screwed over. Lost my job, and at 49, it's hard to recover from that.
Mm. Wow, man.
That's heavy duty, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, though, to me, I mean, I love my wife more than anything in the world. She's my best friend. It took me 37 years of my life to find out what true love is. So, unfortunately for me, I don't think there's like a pill, a medication or a therapist that's going to make me feeling better because I just...
Well, there are no pills or medication that's going to do that, but I think somebody who could help you and talk to you, you know, don't underestimate the power of having someone who's trained at this sort of stuff. It can make a world of difference, Pete. It really can.
Yeah, he's right.
You know, it's just like the Bee Gees said, how do you mend a broken heart? it's horrible.
Yeah, but they had beautiful hair. Yeah, so
they did.
No, Steve's right. If you can reach out to some professional help, I think it might guide you in the right direction and hopefully get your path straightened out, okay?
And do your best.
Anyway, since I've had all this time off, I've been listening to your show from beginning to end, and I said to Nick, no, I can't wait for, you know, Monday morning. You guys get me through the day.
Do your best to give it time. You know, it's so hard when you're in the middle of it. It really is. But if you have faith that things will get better, things will get better. You really have to put one foot in front of the other. And there are so many trite sayings that go along with that, but they're true. You know, just give yourself time, be patient with yourself, and talk to other people who have gone through similar things because they can help.
And go to Giggleberry Fair.
Yeah.
Because it's fun.
Well, it's closed right now, Preston.
I know.
First time caller. I love you guys. All of you are amazing. Great people.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Hang in there, Pete.
Thanks.
Wow.
Okay. Nah, that's, man, you wow, some when it bad. Rains, it pours sometimes in life.
Oh, my God.
And then
yes.
Add on to all the other, you know, the COVID-19 and all the other stuff that's going on. He's in a world of it. But yes. As you're right. And again, remember, this too shall pass.
Yep. All right. And on that note, I think we should take a break.
Yeah.
And we're going to do that very thing. We're going to come back and we're going to get you some bizarre file stories. I think you could use it. So we will get to that in a little bit. Tell you about the Word of the Week prize. If you're not up to speed on that as well, we'll be back in a moment.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bikeathon.
Hey, it's Marcus. Cancer won't stop and neither will we. Join myself and Team WMMR on Sunday, August 9th for the 48th annual ACS Bikeathon. This year, we're going virtual. The pedal power to finish the ride against cancer may look different, but the mission remains the same. Each Team WMMR rider gets a free team t-shirt, registration, and complete details at WMMR.com. And check out our custom Team WMMR apparel providers, Bolay and Go Cycling. Team WMMR and the ACS Bikeathon, virtually unstoppable.
The ACS Bikeathon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
All right, Bizarre Foul Time. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, B-File this morning is brought to you by HERS, the official chip of taking your summer to the next level. And when it comes to snacking this summer, keep it Philly, Philly, and make it HERS. HERS, forever good. Police have identified two suspects who are believed to be responsible for a disturbance at a Sonic drive-in that resulted in a glass door being shattered.
At a Sonic?
Yeah, the driver handed her food back to the employee and pointed to the receipt. After an exchange of words, the store eventually said, "Hey, we are refusing service." Minutes later, the manager threw the cash back into the car and asked repeatedly for the pair to leave. The woman in the driver's seat unbuckled her seatbelt and got out. She started yelling at the employees and even tried to get in through the side door. Then a man in a passenger seat hopped out and started punching the window. The woman tried to drag the man away, but he broke free, coming right back to demand his food. Meanwhile, the employees locked the building down, and just when they thought that it was all clear, the man is caught on camera reaching down under the floorboard and chucking a glass bottle straight at them. The front door of the building was left completely shattered. The two customers then left. They managed to track these people down, or at least who they were, and charges will soon follow. This comes after over the weekend, and every now and then, I love seeing videos like this. People in a drive-thru, Dunkin' Donuts, and they're filming the car in front of them. The woman in front of them was yelling so loud that they're like, "We should probably get this on camera."
Yeah.
And it leads to, essentially, she was just wigging out and is just throwing stuff in her car, and they start throwing her money back at her, and it was just hilarious.
At the drive-thru.
At the drive-thru.
To get that worked up.
I'm telling you. All right, this is a terrible story, but I bring this up because it is a cautionary tale, and always heed this warning. A boy is in intensive care. This is in Denver. At a Denver Health Medical Center, after a bounce house he was jumping in on Saturday was picked up and swept away by strong wind gusts. Ooh. Now, I don't know if they didn't have it anchored down or not, but you have to anchor those things down. They will
fly. Like,
they will absolutely fly.
Yeah.
A fast-moving storm moved into the area Saturday afternoon just as 10-year-old Rylan Robertson was attending a friend's birthday party, and he was critically injured in it. Robertson has been recovering inside the ICU. He underwent brain surgery due to a decompressed skull fracture with bleeding on his brain. And he also suffered several broken ribs, lacerations to his spleen and liver, as well as air between his lungs. So if you do have one of those, man, you've got to stake that into the ground.
Or, you know, before you do, watch footage of bounce houses lifted off the ground in windstorms. You'll be shocked at how high they go.
Yeah. And then even if they don't, they can just tumble roll and roll and roll and roll. So please be careful if you're going to set those up. All right, in Massachusetts, a moose spotted roaming around was tranquilized and relocated by environmental police officers.
A moose? A moose.
Why don't you forget the moose for a moment?
An employee at Mount Pleasant Golf Club was setting up at the first hole around 7 a.m. and
Hey, look, a moose!
He saw the moose
for a moment.
Come out of the woods and run across the fairway. Another resident snapped the phone.
Why don't you forget the moose?
Another resident snapped a photo of the moose near her home.
Hey, you got a picture of a moose! Why don't you forget the moose?
Around noon, the moose was spotted going for a swim in the Merrimack River.
That's a swimming moose! Why don't you forget the moose?
The moose was removed from the river to be relocated.
I find them amazing. They're so huge, and yet they seem improbable in the way they're constructed.
You know? Agreed.
Faces are like...
They totally have that look about them. Biologist Dave Waddle said it was chaos for a bit, chasing her around, trying to push her where we wanted her to be once we got the dart in her, trying to keep her head up and move her closer to the shore. But in reality, everything worked out as well as it possibly could. They said that she'll be released into the Lowell Dracut State Forest, which is where they believe she came from. They also believe she's a baby, only 3 years old, though estimated to be about 600 pounds.
It's a big moose.
Now, here's a story from Vermont. Three people were injured when their car hit a moose.
Why don't you forget the moose?
Friday morning.
For a moment.
It happened around 4 a.m. Police say Andrew Dow hit a moose in the road. Two passengers were hospitalized for their injuries.
Did we just hit a moose?
Dow.
Why don't you forget the moose?
Dow.
For a moment.
Was issued a ticket for lack of insurance, by the way. It was just another moose story, and I wanted to have two. So there you go. In North Carolina.
Why don't you forget the moose?
There was.
For a moment.
There was no moose. Oh. But sightings were popping up again in one neighborhood. Viewers say they've spotted a man without clothes running through some popular trails. Now, it's those same trails that had reports of a naked runner in April of last year.
Is it possible that it's Sasquatch at its molting season?
Maybe it's in its molting season.
Right?
Since June 1st. About five people have reported seeing a naked man running near the Natty Green and Palmetto trails.
Mm.
It's at a time when a lot of people are depending on getting outside. Some people say this violated their sense of security. Maya,
that would hurt running naked.
Maya Nackerman was running near her home on the Natty Green Trail when she saw him. So I saw a man running up through the woods. It looked like he was naked, but I thought I was just imagining it. And then he came closer. She said, shirt, shoes, no bottoms. I was honestly just shocked, and I thought I was going crazy because no one else was here to confirm that I saw it. But she wasn't going crazy. On the other side of town, Esther Lierkes said she saw the same man. She said he was completely naked.
I thought it was a moose.
Other than running shoes.
Why don't you forget the moose?
She said,
for a moment.
I will admit I was looking him up and down, like sort of confirming, are you really naked? Not because I really wanted to see, but just because I was trying to assess the situation.
Sure.
Lierkes said from talking with the neighbors that she's learned that the naked runner has made several appearances during the first few days of June. So they're trying to figure out who this guy is, but he's running a naked all over the place. And there you go. That is your bizarre file for now. We'll take a break. We'll see if you've been paying attention, and we'll reward you if you have been and can get through, because we'll do a lesson question for today's show. And we have trash music news coming up. We'll be back in just a second. Make sure you stay with us.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to do today's stupid question, and we are going to give away... a digital download of the action-packed... no, that's a stupid question. We're going to give away a digital download of Scoob? Scooby-Doo, Shaggy, and Mystery Inc. will be facing their toughest mystery yet, which is available now to own now. Oh, no, it's available to own now. Not available now to own now. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Shut up.
Just enter the freaking contest.
All right, so the question I have for you this morning... I love... There are so many good questions we could ask today... And I think I want to go with this one. After Hannah Brown saved a man from drowning, who showed up on a jet ski? 215-263-WMMR. That's from the 6 o'clock hour. I could have gone with what was one of the sequels to Children of the Corn called? Nerds in Paradise.
Oh, jeez.
Children of the Corn, Nerds,
I don't
Nerds in Paradise.
That.
No, after Hannah Brown saved a man from drowning, who just showed up on a jet ski? 215-263-WMMR. And we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
It is brought to you by Auto Lenders, a smarter way to buy a car. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, according to the entertainment news site JustJared.com, actor Josh Duhamel was seen in Malibu on Saturday swimming in the water with his shirt off. Duhamel later explained to JustJared.com that he removes his shirt to keep it dry. Nicki Minaj describing being married to husband Kenneth Perry as, quote, refreshing. Said Minaj, quote, Kenneth is like a tall glass of southern sweet tea on a hot afternoon. The kind of sweet tea that seems completely uninterested in getting a job. And finally, Aaron Carter announcing on Friday that he and girlfriend Melanie Martin are engaged. The two posted an Instagram video in which Melanie says Carter brings stability to her life as she gently strokes the huge Medusa face tattoo he has. And that's your Hollywood trash.
On IT, we shall see if we can find an answer to this question after Hannah Brown saved a man from drowning who showed up on a jet ski. 215-263-WMMR. It is James that we turn to and ask the question. Hey, James, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, bud. Okay, so who showed up on the jet ski?
Tom Bergeron.
Tom Bergeron. Yeah. Yeah. All right, James, hang on a second. We're going to gather your info, and then we're going to give you a digital download of Scoob. Scooby-Doo, Shaggy, Mystery Incorporated face their toughest mystery yet, and that is available to own now. We got music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, it is brought to you by A.D. Moyer Lumber. All locations remain open to provide your building material and hardware needs and are focused on customer and staff safety. You can call or email ahead for curbside pickup or delivery. Find them at admoyer.com. Papa Roach has announced its second live streaming experience called Infest in Studio. A virtually ticketed live HD broadcast set to take place Saturday at 5 o'clock Eastern Time from Sacramento. The program will feature the band performing its breakthrough 2000 album, Infest Live, in its entirety to celebrate the LP's 20th anniversary. Also featured will be exclusive discussions and reflections in a unique studio environment. Singer Jacoby Shaddix remarked, We couldn't take not performing any longer. Having performed the Infest album in full as a surprise one time before during the band's sold-out 2015 gig at London's Roundhouse on the album's 15th anniversary, we decided to open this infestation to every living room in the world to celebrate the 20th anniversary with us. Tickets sold for Infest in a Studio start at $14.99. They include a physical commemorative ticket for the event fulfilled after their performance. Additional packages include exclusive merchandise, official store discounts, and other expanded experiences. And the purchasers will also be able to add a donation, which will go to Doctors Without Borders, the NAACP, and the World Federation for Mental Health. Bad Wolves have shared the latest in their series of cover songs, a take on Rihanna's Bitch Better Have My Money. The full cover is currently available only to fans who participate in the band's Patreon page, I guess?
Patreon
page.
That's something where you can just sign up and pay people to do, like artists use it a lot.
Okay.
Yes.
In what seems to be a deliberate move, this cover arrives after last Friday's cover of the Chris Brown track, Look at Me Now. Rihanna and Brown were in a relationship and ended in physical violence in 2009, with Brown subsequently arrested on charges of assault, making criminal threats, to which he would later plead guilty. The new cover follows a turbulent week for the band, in which singer Tommy Vexx promoted conspiracy theories about the origins of Black Lives Matter and downplayed the effects of racism in an Instagram video, which he later deleted and walked back. Rage Against the Machine's classic 1992 self-titled debut album has returned to the Billboard 200 and iTunes Top Albums chart nearly 30 years since the LP was originally issued. According to Forbes, Rage's debut landed at number 174 on this week's Billboard 200. And as of Thursday afternoon, it had reached number 8 on iTunes top album charts. The band's other two LPs of original songs are also on the Apple Music charts top 30.
Bet I know what beat them.
What?
The Doobie Brothers. Because we all downloaded Doobie Brothers.
Had it not been for the pandemic, Rage Against the Machine would have been touring North America on a massive reunion trek this year. Instead, the tour will take place in 2021, kicking off in June.
They were going to tour with Clay Aiken, right?
I think that's who, they were going to open for Clay.
It's got to be the same audience.
You know. So Slipknot and Stone Sour singer Corey Taylor has penned the foreword to Nothing But a Good Time, an upcoming book about the hard rock music explosion of the 1980s. Aside from the intro by avowed glam metal fanatic Taylor, the bulk of the hefty 576-page oral history draws on over 200 new interviews with members from Van Halen, Motley Crue, Poison, Guns N' Roses, Skid Row, and more. Authored by Tom Bojour and Richard Beanstock, the uncensored
Beanstock!
History of the 80s hard rock explosion is due out in March of next year. A synopsis said that the book captures the energy and excess of the hair metal years in the words of the musicians, managers, producers, engineers, label executive, publicists, stylists, costume designers, photographers, journalists, magazine publishers, video directors, club bookers, roadies, groupies, and hangers-on who lived it. It added, 1980s hard rock was a hedonistic and often intensely creative wellspring of escapism that perfectly encapsulated and maybe even helped to define a spectacularly over-the-top decade.
Huh.
They're speaking my language right there. And then finally, I mentioned this earlier this morning, Rush, the band, has posted a new animated video of 1980s The Spirit of Radio. The clip, which was issued to promote the band's new Permanent Waves 40th Anniversary Collection, celebrates the DJs that supported the bands through the years. It also touched upon the band's history and ends with a dedication to its late drummer stating, "In memory of our fallen brother, Neil Peart." It's a really cool video. I like it a lot. And there you go. That is what I have in the music news segment for you this morning. All right, let's take another break. When we return, we shall get you started on the Word of the Week prize, and we'll see what Mr. Pierre Robert has in store for you today. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Pearl Jam.
I can hear you feeling the distance. I can see you when I close my eyes.
Larkin Poe.
Burn, burn, and burn with that Holy Ghost light.
Rival Sons.
We move through the world like shooting stars across the sky.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Our Monday morning coming to an end. Don't worry, many other Mondays that we'll spend together as well.
For some, that's good news.
Yeah, so don't be sad. Don't be sad. No sad, bro. It's Monday.
No sad, bro. Monday.
That doesn't work.
I'm wearing my shirt.
I noticed that.
Yeah. I believe it. It's a state of mind all week long.
I never did order my no sad, bro shirt. I'm bummed I didn't get that because it was a flash sale. They came and went. So.
I usually F that up. This time I was on it.
Good man. All right. So no guests today. No thank yous, but thank you.
No thank you, bro.
No thank you, bro. It's Monday. we did have a bunch of callers, so thank you guys for contributing today. We do appreciate that. I guess we can just dive right into the letter of the day.
Oh
my goodness. No. He's here. I heard wrong that the man was not here. Tut, tut, tut.
Kathy's back.
She's back.
I wish I could give you a hug and a kiss.
Give me a smoothie.
No, you don't.
Oh, that's a good excuse that you have now built in. I wish I could give you a hug.
Oh, I wish I could hug and kiss you.
I wish I could have unprotected sex with you, but you know, with the COVID thing and everything.
You know how you like to get all muddy and roll around in the mud and then jump on the bed?
I will say.
And get the doilies dirty?
Pierre does give good hugs.
Yeah.
Because at least my experience with Pierre's hugs, he doesn't go in and like pull you in. Like it's kind of like you're off to the side and he gives you like a little.
No. I don't do those side hugs. I hate those side hugs. Those those sport hugs.
I think it was
jock hugs.
I think we were taking a picture. I think that's why you did that. Like we were still facing
for side
the
hug
camera.
Monthly.
I don't like those little side hugs. I like full-on hugs.
I think it was because we were taking a picture.
After all the time we've been together, you don't remember that?
Sorry.
Wow. Jeez Louise.
There's strains in this relationship.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this thing will do to you.
That's right.
Yeah.
You've been separated like this now. You're back together, and all these emotions come flooding out.
We've been on split screens.
Yeah.
When you watch these news shows... everyone's broadcasting from their homes. So I always like to look and see like what books they're reading because they're always in front of a bookcase and or what kind of painting they have. Or sometimes one of these shows, this guy's dog was running in the background.
Well, there was a website that actually broke down the top 10 and top 10 most embarrassing, the most impressive and the most embarrassing.
Oh,
great. And the bland. Yeah.
Cool.
By the way, you gave me a new band name idea, which is the Dirty Doilies.
The Dirty Doilies.
I need to write that down.
Well, Kathy likes to have doilies everywhere, those little, you know, artistic things.
Yep.
It was a very Martha Stewart household we live in.
Doilies.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys share, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I understand.
Everything in its place all the time. Mm-hmm. Perfection and cleanliness.
That's what you breathe, man.
Both of us.
She was doing those Clorox wipes long before they were popular.
Yeah.
And they were everywhere.
Wow.
Hanging from the ceiling. We had a mobile of them. I mean, it's so beautiful.
What's that?
I don't know.
Come give me a hug.
Forget it. He's rolling. All right. Now we can do the letter of the day if you're ready.
That's what I was thinking.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter.
S as in Saturday.
All right, and it'll be here before you know it. And we will give away on Friday a Physique Round Barbecue and Fire Pit Kit.
Wow.
Landis Block. And Landis Block, you can start imagining your own backyard paradise by looking at the photo gallery online at landisbc.com. So we'll give that sucker away on Friday. You got some good stuff planned for today?
I do indeed. We've got Workforce Blocks of Avenged Sevenfold. We've got Blocks of Queen and Live and the vinyl cut.
That's good. Good stuff.
It'll be a fun day to get back in the swing of things and a lovely day, too.
Yes. I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin'. Send Dad a little thanks with a Dunkin' e-gift card by visiting DunkinCoffeeBreak.com. Also brought to you by 80 Moyer. All locations are open. You can call ahead for curbside pickup or delivery. And Meineke doing car care right. Tomorrow, we have a guest tomorrow.
Hey! Wow.
Such an event these days when we have a guest. And he's a good one. Big Jay Oakerson.
Nice. Jay's great.
Jay's awesome. So I'm sure he's got plenty to talk about, and we'll do that with him tomorrow. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
I started surfing, and every time I go out in the ocean, I have to have a mental talk with myself and prepare myself to fight a shark. Because you never know. So, Casey, love the fear of sharks, but hate the sharks.
Next message.
Just wanted to give a big shout out to the guy in front of me in the black Ford Focus on the Whitehorse Pike. Listening to MMR, and you let me in. You rock.
Next message.
Hi, I just want to agree with Nick McElwain and say that Kokomo sucks.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.